Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Love Fantasies with the Diva Squad on GQ Palace Radio. And I want to welcome all my callers and listeners to our episode tonight. How's everybody?
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey.
What's
up,
going on?
Hey.
Hey,
hey. Hey, Rachel. Are you, Rachel, you in the building, Rachel?
Yes, I am in the building.
All right,
we got the full squad on deck, so everybody know it's on and proper now. How was everybody's week so far?
We're
in the middle of the week. You know, people be struggling by Wednesday, still can't get over Monday. You know what I mean?
Hey, listen, like I said, and I always say, ain't no sense in complaining. Ain't gonna do no good, no way.
I'm trying to tell you now. At the end of the day, everybody has a story to tell. How you tell yours is a little
different. Exactly. It's how you deal with it.
Exactly.
Yep.
How you take on.
What you going to do? Keep dwelling on the worst? You look for a brighter day. That's all I can say.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I want to give a shout out to all of the birthday people out there. Anybody who has a birthday is on the line. Happy birthday from the GQ Palace. What is this, Virgo season? This is Virgos?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Virgo season. So happy birthday to them Virgos out there. You know, and as everybody know, this is an adult show. You know, we would prefer 18 and over, but we still have, there's no profanity on our line. You will be chopped if there's any profanity. we've experienced that. And we do speak civilly here. And when we speak with total opinion. We're not here to fix anybody or cause any trouble with anybody. How everyone speaks is totally their opinion. And we would greatly appreciate it if everybody respected the rules, that we have here. Shout out to our CEO and our executive, Rich and Lavina, who puts a lot of time, effort, and money into this. And, you know, we just like for it to be respectful. We do appreciate everybody calling. We do value people's opinions as well. So we want you to press that one and get in on the topic. You go on live on the air. So, okay. So with that said, we're going to move on with our show. Is everybody ready?
Hey, yeah, we are.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So, as everybody knows, today marks the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington, August 28, 1963. The late Dr. King delivered his "I Have a Dream" speech at the Lincoln Memorial down in D.C., where over 200,000 people attended back then. You know that was grand numbers back then. You know what I'm saying? Somebody, for one man to, to draw that kind of crowd or whatever, it was a big thing. You understand what I'm saying?
He deserved it and more.
He really, really did. And, I think this is a really important part of history simply because I think our kids now see a little more history than we did back then. You understand what I'm saying? We were a little more limited than we are now when it comes to stuff like that. For whatever reason, I think now our kids have a little more exposure when it comes to seeing history unfold.
Right.
As far as, and especially with us having a black president, you know what I'm saying?
True that.
It's a big deal. So.
Speaking of that, I had my best friend in Philadelphia. She went, took her two boys, and I think they are maybe 11 and 13,
uh-huh.
And her grandson, which is 6. And her fiancé took them up there, and she said she had a great time. It was just the crowd and everything, but I was like, man, that's an experience that I would love to just be a part of.
Absolutely.
Because like you say, hey, we're talking about black history.
Absolutely.
And that man died for no reason.
Yes.
Just because he wanted to be there for us.
Absolutely.
He had a dream. He wanted to make that dream come true.
That's right. And
and
he paid for it with his life.
Selfishness and racism, they didn't allow it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep. He paid for that, for what he stood for with his life. You understand
exactly.
What I'm saying? He went to the death for it. So that right there in itself is a big thing. You understand what I'm saying? Because how many people would you say that they would actually be willing to lay their lives down to for a cause?
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying now, especially nowadays. You understand what
I'm
saying? So, how much have we grown? From 50 years since today, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Since 50 years ago. How much have we grown?
True.
As a nation, with him, with that speech and with what he's done, he's opened a lot of doors for many of us, not only just African-American people, women. You understand what I'm saying? Women as well, because we were considered a minority too. So, it was just a lot of racial injustice and stuff going back on that's not happening now. I mean, I'm not going to say it's not happening now. I'm going to take that back because we'll look at the Trayvon Martin situation and you can see that there's still some of that going on. But it's not as blunt or bold as it used to be back in the day, where you got lynched just because you were a black person. You know,
wow.
You know, now you have laws that protect that, which, you know, it kind of we struggle with that. You know, so that's like a new dream that we have, that mm-hmm. the justice system will actually be equal to all of us.
Right.
You understand? So
yeah.
I know that I feel like they should teach more African American history in the schools.
I say the same thing.
Yeah, we have our first caller of the night, Divas. Nancy. Nancy, are you there?
Hi, my name is Nancy. What's up, Angie?
Homegirl. Hi, Nancy.
Nancy Charlotte. Hey,
hi, Nancy.
Girl.
How you
up?
Doing, honey?
Hello.
Hey.
How
I
you doing? Welcome to the Diva Squad.
Say,
thanks for calling in.
You're welcome. I just wanted to say that I took the time out today to watch the speech, and I'm glad I did, because I wasn't going to. I believe that was the best. I'm very proud of our president, and
okay,
I believe that's the best speech that he ever did, and I think that's one speech that's going to go down in history. I really, really do.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm a white person.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree, and I really, really felt that he said everything that he said from his heart. I don't care who likes Obama, who doesn't like him, whatever this country's going through. What he said today came straight from his heart, and God bless America. I want to say that.
Amen.
Oh,
that's a wonderful thing. And see, this is not some one-sided thing where it's just coming from
black
people seeing this.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying?
That's right.
Our country has really become so diverse till everybody can, the color line, it's a race in certain things, you know?
Yeah.
So, and that's a wonderful thing, you know, where he can reach all viewers, all of his country, not just specific thing, which a lot of people try to make it that way. That's now how he operates. You know?
I was just very proud of him, and I don't know if it's going to take a year, 5 years, 10 years, but I believe that his speech is going to go down in history. I really, really do.
Absolutely.
So, I love
absolutely.
You, and I'll talk to you soon.
Love,
God bless
love
you.
Love you, too. Take care, honey. Thanks for
okay,
calling.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye.
Yes.
Wow.
But again, it's, you know, it's become diverse, and, you know, it feels good to actually, you know, hear people of another race speak. I would like more for our own people to speak, you know, to speak up as well, to acknowledge the things that, you know, that he has going on and stuff like that. And because, you know, Dr. King was so nonviolent. He was nonviolent. He didn't, you know, he was just about equality for everybody, everybody, not just our people, you know. So, but, you know, at that time in this country, you already know what kind of mess we were in.
True.
Yeah.
What kind of mess we were in. We still have a long way to go. We've come a long way, but we still have a long way to travel. You understand?
Yeah.
But this is where we have to come, and we have to put that work in.
That's
you know,
mm-hmm.
we have to put that work in to make sure everything is that goes according to plan.
Exactly.
You know, because prejudice, I don't think we'll ever get over that.
No.
It still exists, and it's going to always exist,
mm-hmm.
I feel. You know, that's where I feel like Martin Luther King was trying to come in,
mm-hmm.
to get everybody to love one another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, despite of color, whatever.
Exactly.
You know, let's come together as whole and a family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's not look at the color. You know, and I say it all the time, and I even preach it to my grandkids. You know, we go to heaven or hell today or tomorrow. They don't have a place for the blacks, white, pink, purple.
That's right.
They don't have corners for that.
Mm.
That's right.
We all are God's children, you know.
Yep.
So if I cut you, you cut me, we're all going to bleed red.
We're all going to bleed red blood. Nobody has green
yep.
blood.
You know, and then
blood,
you look at,
blood.
You know, like you have a lot of kids, like, be like, well, if this white person doesn't love the black people, why do they try to be like the black people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the tanning booths and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you have some Caucasians that's just as dark as some of the lighter
you know, black.
Right.
The fair-skinned black
right,
people.
Exactly.
Right. Yes.
Exactly.
Right. But you also have, there's Dominicans that are darker than us. There's, you have Asian,
exactly.
Indian people that are darker than us. And you understand what I'm saying? And
mm-hmm.
the color of the skin has nothing to do, like you said, the color
thank
of your
you.
Skin is not has nothing to do with the content of your character, because you have fools in all creeds, races, colors, or whatever. You have people that are that act idiots.
Right.
Act like idiots that you know, project nothing but idiocy.
Yeah,
so,
and
you
know, the thing is, I mean, I wish that it was just a button that we could push where everyone would get along regardless of the race, creed, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, because the thing is, you know, we're losing so many of our people over dumbness, but
yeah.
we're also doing
yeah, yeah.
it to ourselves. You
yep.
know, you can't always say that the other race is the reason that we're losing this and that. No.
Exactly. And I'm glad you made that point, T, because now is where we gotta. You have to start taking accountability for your own actions. When everyone is born
thank
to
you.
This earth, the first thing God gives us is free will.
Right.
He gives us free will. You have the right to exercise that in any way you want to. You understand?
Right.
So, now we have to start teaching our children about our history. But what little do we know? If not, we could research it and also teach them. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, Rachel, they need to teach more of it in the schools as well. But you're only going to get that fabricated story when it comes to that. They're
that's
only going to get
exactly.
bits and pieces. So when it comes to being in depth, we have to teach that at home. Do our research.
Right.
Our research
oh, yeah.
and teach our children what it is to know now. To bring up one point about slavery, let me tell you, slavery is back in the Bible. It was never against the rules to be a slave to a master, but where the problem comes in at was the prejudice, where
and the disrespect
is how they treated this slave. When master has, we are slave to everything we do, even our boss every week. We are his slaves because we actually
mm-hmm.
provide a service to him. Now,
mm-hmm.
but. We are supposed to be treated as if we were one of their children and not a lesser because of the color of our skin, because we were still, at the end of the day, providing a service for them.
Right,
so
yeah.
this is where all of that stuff gets twisted up at about slavery and everything. So, you know, everything that provides a service to something is a slave to that master. That's your master for that moment. So, but it's just how they treated African-American slaves when they were brought over here, and how they were raped and all that stuff. That's where the problem was. Being a slave wasn't the problem. It's how they treated their slaves actually was the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So this and that's just a little history moment, because again, I read the Bible. I try to teach my children as much as I can when it comes to that, the Bible, and as well as my black history. You know. So.
You know, that's why I'm so glad that my mother and father brought me up to love everyone. You know, how dare you to say that you don't like this person because they're a different race.
Uh-huh.
You
uh-huh.
know, where I was born and raised, West Virginia, you know, we had the Klan, everything there.
Uh-huh.
But some of my best friends were white.
Absolutely.
You know, my father and mother would let me go there to their place to spend a night before versus some of my, you know, black friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just so glad that I was never, ever brought up like that, you know, to dislike this person because of their skin color.
Exactly.
But you have so many kids that have been brought up and are still being brought up in that situation.
Yeah. Ooh,
you know, the N-word is just one of their vocabulary, especially if they call themselves getting ticked off with a black.
Yeah,
you know, but as we said, we are who we are. You know,
it's
just that, hey, my pigments are different than yours.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You know, so
yes,
don't dislike me because of my skin color.
Right.
If I disrespect you, then I don't expect for you to like me.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, we all need to try to get along.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, stop saying that this race or that race is about bringing us down. No, you're bringing yourself down.
Exactly.
Be who
you
are.
Yeah, you don't
and
like.
Don't try to be somebody that you're not.
Yeah, you don't like slavery, but you enslave yourself to trying to keep up with,
right.
with culture, with going against people of your own kind, and all that stuff. You've enslaved yourself now. You understand?
Right.
But you're mad at somebody else for doing it to you, but you're doing it to yourself, and you're not checking yourself on it.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. Don't talk about it.
Be about it. Come on. Be the one to make that difference. Or the culture is now. I guess with the hip hop culture or whatever is pants sagging and all that. Be that difference. I don't need to have my pants sagging to understand what you're saying or to enjoy the same entertainment that you're enjoying. I don't need to do that. That's not
right.
necessary.
Exactly. Making it look bad for, you know, for the rest of us. It's bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we have another caller on the line. Dave. Dave, are you there?
Good evening, ladies, and it's a pleasure to hear your voice.
Good evening.
Yes.
Welcome to Love Fantasy with the Diva Squad. How are you?
Oh, geez. I tell you, I am truly blessed. I am more blessed to hear your voices. And not only to hear your voices, I am actually truly blessed to hear the topic that is being spoken about today, because it's one that really is near to my heart, and I see that it's actually one that really is sensitive to you guys as well.
You know,
you made some really important points there when you were speaking just now, and I'll tell you one thing is we are definitely responsible for the actions that we incur. We are responsible for the profile that we actually have, that others have on us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as the scripture is, yes, Solomon did have slaves. However, it was, as you were saying, it was not in the sense of them being higher than the slaves themselves, but it's just that it was just given to him as, you know, as basically a gift of his knowledge.
Absolutely.
You know, so it was used in a sense to benefit the slaves as opposed to where today is being used to segregate the slaves in the sense
right.
of what they were.
Right.
Now, we have a situation here, and I'm going to say America, but basically in the world, and it's called the dumbing down of America, because basically here's what's happening. We were actually the original slave owners.
Mm-hmm.
When you go back to Pharaoh and things of that nature, we were actually the original slave owners.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened is that Knowing our history, the creators of the alphabet, arithmetic, as they call it, math, we were the originators of these tools that we use today. Now, when you read the scriptures and you talk about bronze skin, bronze skin is used to describe a person of color.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
When you talk about woolly hair, you're really talking about a person really of color because of the statue and the you know, the way our hair is really fragmented. What has been done and what is continued to be done is that the people in high places, we fight against principalities and people in high places.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And what they are doing is basically making people of color seem less than because they know the potential that we have.
Absolutely.
See? They know the potential, and they know what we were capable of and what we are capable of, and they're actually seeing it. You made
mm-hmm.
a mention about the hip-hop, and even as far as hip-hop, look how far hip-hop has come just from the days of, you know, Sugar Hill Gang and things of that nature.
Right.
Not only that, they know that people have this thing with fears. So the videos, they show these diamonds, they show these big cars.
Right.
$2,000 sneakers. So guess what? You don't have it. You're going to do what you can to get it because
exactly.
you see this profile.
Mm-hmm.
But what it boils down to is respect.
Respect.
And it boils down to men and women knowing their heritage, knowing who they are, the queens and kings that we are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and as you being a queen and the man being a king, we're gonna have children who are gonna follow suit.
That's right.
If we have children that are lost, and we ourselves are lost, how can we find our way in the dark?
Yeah, and you know where you're supposed to be or where you're supposed
you
to go. Exactly.
Right. You can't find it.
That's right. That's right. And that's why I say about people enslaving themselves. You understand
exactly
what I'm saying? You enslaving yourself. You binding yourself. You have yourself bound because you feel this is what you need to have. And this goes back to a lot of material things. You know, this is they look at material things first. It's all about the material of possessions or whatever, because they felt we were stripped as slaves and stuff. We were stripped that now it made us greedy people. It made you greedy. You didn't take it as that learning lesson to, you know, to like, I'm going to have to teach my children how to do things a different way.
Right. And until you realize, we as people realize who we are, what we stand for, it's going to always be animosity. It's going to be racism. Yeah. You know, just do what you're supposed to do in life. Encourage the next person. That person can encourage the next. You know,
right.
And we could be happy. But if we're going to continuously keep fighting each other amongst each other because you think that this race is doing X, Y, Z, then, you know, it's going to be problems forever.
It's always,
you know, it's
always
going to
be
problems.
Yeah.
It's a sinful world, you know, and I just think about my grandson's generation. That the generation that we're looking at now is so far-fetched, gone, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I said, I can only do so much, but I'm going to do what I have to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, for my family and my surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't control the world.
You can't control what anybody else do.
You know, so, I mean.
Again, we like you said, we must lead by example. You have to actually lead by example. I'm going to show you a little different. I can't tell my if I'm smoking a cigarette, I can't tell my son not to smoke.
That's true.
You understand what I'm saying? Now, if I don't want him to smoke, I'm not going to allow him to see me smoke.
There
right you go.
And, you know, and the thing is, you know, T, I have to make a note of this. It starts with a drop. If you have a bucket and each of us come by and put a drop of water in that bucket, eventually it's going to be filled with whatever we put in there.
Right.
Whether it's water, whether it's nutrients, whatever it is, that bucket eventually is going to get filled.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
But it starts with that first drop and everyone else coming along and putting a drop as well. So,
yes,
you may not be the one responsible for what's going on, but at the same time, we are responsible for what we let go on in our home.
Right.
If you have a wall, okay, if you have a wall and that wall has a hole and what's coming through that hole is poisonous snakes, and then you have snakes that are not poisonous, and you say to your son or your daughter, hey, I got to go to the work, but you see that hole? Those poisonous snakes, I don't want you to mess with those snakes. The other ones, they're okay, but you see those poisonous snakes, don't mess with those snakes.
Mm-hmm.
What if you had just closed that hole rather than instructing them which snakes to play with?
Right.
You see, because
then
once
they
you
wouldn't
leave,
be able to bother none of them.
Yeah, you don't know what will happen once you leave. Once you leave, you can't say what anybody won't do. I get your point, Dave.
You could say that they're not poison, but you don't know that. You don't know
that
for a fact. It could be a mixture.
Get your house in order. Get your house in order.
It starts at home. You know, and that's why I talk to my grandbaby right now. You know, and therefore I'm trying to tell him, you love everybody. Don't just love, you know, your race. You love everyone.
Right.
Like I said, I have two biracial grandkids, and I love them to death.
Mm-hmm.
They're no different than this one that I have that's, you know, fully black. So, I mean, you know, what am I supposed to do because they're biracial, not love them because they're not of the same race of me?
Right.
And see, this is where our kids are—they're not actually seeing. They don't really understand how blessed they are from 50 years ago to today to see how you can freely walk down the street. You understand?
Uh-huh.
You have the right to go vote. You don't have to go around the back door to get in a certain establishment. You don't have any of that. You don't You don't have to, you know, it's a lot of things that we have to really be thankful for as well, you know. Like I said,
true.
We're not where we used to be, but we're not where we want to be. We still have a long way to go, but it has to start, with, like they said, that
somewhere.
Drop in the bucket.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, we have another caller on the line, Don Divas. Silver Fox. Silver Fox, are you there?
Just a second. I was brushing my teeth. Hey, what's up, y'all?
Hello. Hi, Silver Fox. Welcome to the Love Fantasy with the Diva Squad.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me here. Big ups to y'all. I really appreciate being here. I was checking out the conversation, and it's like, you know, and then my man talking about, you know, I'm sorry if I don't know the people's names and all of that, but, you know,
okay.
Talking about,
okay.
You know, everybody
okay.
Put the drop in a bucket, and somebody else comes with the drop in, and that's how it starts. Yeah, but then there's always some greedy person want to pick up the bucket and drink all the water. You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
Like, that's it. I got four kids. My daughters, they were growing up. My daughters, my son, they're growing up in this crazy information age generation where they don't think about the past, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like Pepsi. Pepsi used to say they the choice of a new generation. Now they talk about live for now, you know? Like there's no tomorrow, like live for now. It's not
right.
The choice, you know, and all of this. This prejudice, yeah, it's going to be prejudice. It's going to be prejudice. But
yeah.
I grew up, you know, I grew up in Harlem, and my mother actually, and this was in the 60s, you know what I mean? And my mother was actually, she didn't instill a prejudice upon me. And we was marching, too. I remember marching down 125th Street back when the riots and the ruts and all
uh-huh.
of that was going down, and we
yeah.
and the burning of the church. And it's like, you know, I was lucky. I mean, I was in New York, but it's like there was still prejudice. If you go downtown, like, you know, then you're going to feel it. It's like,
right.
You know, we're all staying in Harlem. But to make a long story short, it's like this is something that it's a constant fight, but we don't have any leaders, you know. All our leaders seem to be gone. Are they dead?
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right, right.
And nobody's listening to nobody because people don't. Want to hear nothing. Hey, y'all
yeah,
keep
no,
it down out there. Keep it down.
Yeah, nobody, like you said, nobody wants to hear, nobody really wants to hear the truth. They don't want to hear that.
They don't want to hear the truth.
They're afraid of exposure, whether it's in the self. And again, it's selfish people. We're dealing with so many selfish people, not going to allow us to grow.
The whole world is perpetuated about money. It's all about money. It's
money,
like even
money,
our
money.
Government. With Syria, they're not even telling us about Syria because it's all because we got money over there. We got an investment over there as far as the United States. So they don't want to do nothing to hurt the economics,
mm-hmm.
you know, the economic structure. So now it's like, yeah, okay, let's just put that on the back burner like it's a footnote. And we'll
mm-hmm.
just talk about this 11-year-old girl that the teacher, you know, raped or whatever. And, you know, we're going to put that. On the news, like there ain't thousands of women all over the world getting raped all the time, statistically, you know what I mean?
Right.
And they put one girl on the news and let us focus on that.
That's
so it's like,
thing.
You know, yeah, everything is controlled. It's controlled. The media controls. The music is controlling. Everything is geared to keep us all dumbed down. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's so true.
It's to
train people's brain to what they want them to know. We're going to train your brain. Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. And I'm like, you know, I just wanted to touch bases with y'all. And I also want to say, I don't know if Rich Money's around, but man, I missed the GQ Palace event that was going down. And I don't know how I missed that because I knew I was supposed to be there. And I really, you know, I want a big profuse apologies and all of that because that will never happen again. But I thought it was in my itinerary. Next thing I know, I was asking T. Holland, where you at, T?
I'm right here.
I was asking her, I'm like, when is it? She's like, oh, it's tonight. I'm like, oh, no. The day of the event. Big ups, Holland. Big ups to Holland. You know what I mean? So, once again, I want to apologize for that. I just wanted to put my two cents in it. But, I'm constantly moving. So I wanted to check in with GQ Callis. I got mad love for y'all. And this topic here, I'm going to try to turn other people on to it so they could just listen. They got to hear what we're talking about and contribute. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. All right.
Yeah.
You know, and if that one word can actually, you know, enlighten somebody else. You understand what I'm saying? You can hear an opinion or a thought or some type of history that will actually open somebody else's eyes. You know what I mean? And that's our purpose here, you know.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Start from somewhere.
That's what it is. So, you know, I always want to listen and I'm always want to contribute because it's something, it's all of our minds building together, you know what I mean? And, you know, so right now it's like DS does. Yeah. So it's all of us just building together, you know what I mean? Each
that's
one
right.
teach one, each one reach one, and we all just got to reach. Okay?
Yeah. Okay. Thanks so much, Silver Fox.
Hey, no doubt.
Thank you so much.
You gone?
Nah, I'm not gone.
Okay, listen, man. I hope you don't mind me calling you Platinum Fox because check this out, man. We don't really need leaders. You listen. Just the way you spoke just now, you are your own leader, brother. You're your own leader. We don't. To be honest, when we have so-called leaders, you know what happens? They get corrupt just like the rest of the system.
Yes,
okay?
Sir.
Yeah.
We saw that with Jesse Jackson.
I don't want to call any names.
Oh, me neither. My bad. Let's take that back.
Too late. You're so late.
Let's take that back. Let's not. But I hear what you're saying, though. You're right, listen, you didn't
start that with him. He started that on himself. That's how he was able to call his name. You understand?
No question. And it's been a limelight. It's written. It's documented. It's a part of history. So it's like, you know, that's part of his history forever. So it's like, you know, whether detrimental or not. And sometimes they try to let the things that are detrimental to him affect the message that he's putting out. But the message is not, you know, it's not the messenger, it's the message. That's right. And I like how you said that with the Platinum Fox, because I'm my own leader. But I've been on this planet for a minute, you know what I mean? So I'm an old school kind. And it's like, you know, I got to tell you
age, Platinum Fox.
Nah, I ain't going to do it.
That's where it's headed.
I'll just say that, you know, I'm a grandfather, I'm a father, and I have nieces and nephews, and I have people that call me Mr. Reggie, that I watched them grow up, and they call me Mr. Reggie forever because I instill positive word in them through their life. So I like that. I like to affect different people's lives and to put something positive into it, you know what I mean? Because children going to remember it forever. See, people don't realize all them beatings or whatever, the slapping around for no apparent reason. You know, people want to slap their kids around. Get out the kitchen, smack, 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 you know what I mean?
For no
apparent reason, but all of this stuff builds up and children remember this forever. So then they carry that on to their own families
or whatever.
They carry it on into the street and they find like-minded individuals that's fed up with their parents. And then they click up and now you have a whole new group of fed up individuals and let somebody, you know, and now they out for destruction. That's the only path. The only path is self-destruction, you know?
Yeah.
Do you all
think more mentors would be better for our kids today?
Mentors,
you know, with that walk?
No.
What was the question?
In these times right now are dangerous. That's like we are in, it's too late now. We infused our children with information, first of all. They could find anything online. A child could go to the web and just type, I went to find out about somebody being on probation, right? And I don't want to put this out there, but I went through this thing that had probation within it, and it wound up being a porn site. And I'm just basically trying to find somebody on probation.
Right.
So it's
and
like,
yes. We had that discussion. What was it, last week? How the internet and stuff. How the internet really controls everything now. It's controlling it.
Everything is done through the web, social media. They call it. But it's not just social. There's people that put their gripes on the web.
It's a gift and a curse.
Yeah, like the guy Wiener that put all this stuff on the web through Twitter. That stuff ain't never disappeared. So anytime they want, they can pull up a picture of this dude running for mayor. You know what I'm saying? It's like, so all of that stuff don't disappear. And people don't realize what they're doing. And even the web, you could post pictures of your daughter in a bathing suit. Just having fun. It's family pictures and they right there. But yes, somebody's going to crop, take you out the picture.
Yep, Photoshop the picture.
You Photoshop the picture and they got a picture of your child sitting there. You know what I'm saying? It's naked and all over the place.
Well, see, and again, this is how different the times is changing, and that's why my question is, how much have we really changed from 50 years ago to today? You understand what I'm saying? What's the real growth?
Well, the real growth, though, is through education, and that's the thing that we were fighting for. First, we were fighting to vote, you know, so that we could elect our representatives. But in order to vote, we got to know how to read. In order to read, we got to get that education. In order to get a good education, we have to have good teachers. That's why at first it was the Parents Teachers Association, and then they broke off, and it became the Parents Association because the parents were looking out for the children and taking them out of the teacher's grasp. Huh? Oh, yeah, okay.
Like we were saying before, it starts at home when it comes to, you know, really educating our kids for them to know what's really good and what's, you know, what's to do and not to do. And we have to be that by example.
Sometimes you
bring them up one way and they're going to end up in totally opposite.
Some adults have the right to do whatever they want to do.
That's
true. Understand? You just have that hope that they take what you taught them and carry that on with them wherever they go.
Right.
You can be in the world and not of it. So
it's hard.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but it's hard. It's like, okay, on my block where I grew up, I'm in the projects, you know, 11 buildings, 13 buildings, 21 floors high, you know, 10 apartments each floor, so there's thousands of people condensed into two blocks, right? So amongst those two blocks, we are part of our environment, you know? So now we got all of this stuff that's thrown at us to perpetuate us. It took a long time to just get cigarette commercials off of TV, you know what I mean? To get, and they still doing alcohol and beer commercials every football.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So it's still... You know, it's still like there's a lot of stuff that's being thrown at us, a lot of traps, a lot of things that we will. And this goes back to something that I had mentioned before. It goes back to slavery, where they mentally, psychologically had tried to disrupt the whole family. And then when it didn't work psychologically, you know, you got to remember when the 80s, when that crack epidemic, they call it an epidemic, but really what it was a crack invasion, like there people were throwing crack in the neighborhood. So when that came out, everybody was just hungry. There was people that didn't have nothing that all of a sudden now they got money because they're selling crack. They didn't care about who they were killing or who was dying or if their mother was on it and all of that. That stuff disrupted families, children, babies, parents, girls. There were women that all of a sudden, first they're a beautiful lady, you're a beautiful woman, and all of a sudden you're disheveled and you're homeless and you're crap. It was another way to destroy us, you know what I mean?
That's right.
And once it did its job, then they take all of that and they move it out now. Now we're going to move the crack out. We did our job. That's why Harlem is being taken over right now. Because all these brownstones that people were living in, and now they can't afford the brownstones because they're on crack. You know what I mean? So people buying them up. It's like what they did was anybody getting busted for drugs, they place will get boarded up. It will be confiscated by the government. It's like, you know, egg, bro. There's so much to it. And it's like, and it's all through the education, me reading and books that I've read, things that my mother showed me. And my mother, she's from Savannah, Georgia, where she had to leave from there at 11 years old because they were trying to lynch her mother. You know what I mean? It was deep. It was like, you know, her mother said something to a white man or whatever, and then they was going to lynch her and her children and all of that. They jumped on the train, went from the south to the north. So my mother, you know, just a brief synopsis, my mother had like a third grade education. So all she was doing was actively working. She's working in little cotton fields and picking pecans and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So it was like, but yeah, she found a way to give me an education by looking around and by finding good people. I mean, and this is, and that's why I'm not having prejudice. At a young age, I'm like, wow, I have people like a lawyer named Helen Mensah, a Japanese woman named Suki Torts, whose husband was teaching me social studies, and he was a professor in Columbia University. So it's like these are people that were connected, that wanted an education for us, that they were fighting for it. But nobody's fighting for anything right now. It's like people are talking about stuff, that saying, but nobody's actually putting their guns up and fighting. You know, nobody's coming in and trying to fuck the system. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think I was about to go.
Well, you know,
it's hard to leave when you get engaged in a good conversation. It's really hard to cut it short. Because, I mean, there's so many points to this topic. There's so many stories and stuff that can be told about this. You understand what I'm saying? It needs to be heard.
I just got three words for you, bro. Go ahead, bro.
I just got three words for you. Just three words. Iron sharpens iron.
Iron sharpens iron. I learned that in church, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the Bible. It's iron sharpens iron. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's right. It does. And that's the thing about it. But, yes, there's a lot of people that are coming with cotton thinking they can sharpen an iron, but that's not going to work. So it's like, you know, all these cotton individuals and all these people that are, you know, the negativity is so prevalent, and it's something that is so portrayed, so thrown out there. It's like even in the VMAs, they're talking about Miley Cyrus. Yeah, that's right. She was stupid playing with that's what they perpetuate. That's what they wanted from her. She used to be on Disney. She was on Disney. You know what I mean? So it's like it's the price of fame. There are people that would do anything to be famous.
Yep. Exactly. That's my next point. What are you willing to sell? What are you willing to give up for the price of fame? Are you willing to sell your soul for the price of fame?
If I was selling my soul for the price of fame, I'd be famous. You understand? I'm like, you know, I'm known, but I'm not famous. So I don't need to be famous. I don't need to be. I can't sell my soul. I can't have somebody tell me, yo, man, yo, come on. I got you, man. You're going to make $1 million. But yes, you're going to have to stay over here and sleep with these three girls and this guy right there. And plus, we got these drugs on the table. And put her, that's a walkout. But there's some people that go, yeah, for $1 million? All right. I'm on it. But see, it's like, it's all about the character of the individual. There's a lot of people, they don't have any character. And you hear them saying, and I want to thank God. You know, that's like a ritual. Like you know what I mean? That's just like saying, I'm a boy on the block. I'm going to thank Charlie.
That's a formality.
Yeah, that's all. It ain't nothing. They're not thinking about God. If they thinking about God, then somebody would say a prayer or something. Or somebody would go, walk up and go, I want to thank God, you know, blessed be the man that walked up not in the council of the ungodly, you know, standeth in the way of sinners, no seat on the seat of the scornful. Yeah, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And he shall, you know, and just say something like that and be like, thank you, y'all. You know what I mean? But no, they don't want that.
Hey, brother, you want to say that together?
He was rocking on together. That one.
You know that one. You know that.
You got Dave standing on his feet right now.
Let's go, buddy.
Yeah.
You ready?
Dave, come on now. You got Dave standing on his feet right now.
Okay, let's be the man that walketh
not
in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand up in the way of sinners, nor sit on the seat of scoffers.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night.
He shall stand
by the river of water.
And he shall be.
Are you there?
I'm there. We got the echo. By the river of water, he shall be. But the rest, they like chaff which the wind bloweth away. Therefore, they cannot stand in the judgment, nor sit in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, and the way of the sinner shall perish.
Shall perish. Amen. You know what? You want to go to the second one?
Let me grab my Bible here.
Listen, we don't need no Bible here now. This is coming from the head.
So that comes from
the
head.
That comes from the heart.
That's where it comes from. That comes from the heart.
Yeah.
But listen, Platinum Fox, listen, you mentioned about the cotton. Here's what we do, man. When someone brings cotton to sharpen a blade, here's what we do. We take that cotton, we make a swab, and we clean the ears so that they can hear what we're saying. And upon using that cotton, we go ahead and listen, and we put it on the wound so that we can start healing that wound that's bleeding. So we use the cotton for our benefit. That's what we do, man.
Yes, sir.
Romans 8:28. All things are good for, you know, for those who are called and those who are chosen. So you use it. It may not sharpen that iron, but I tell you what, it's going to sharpen the senses. And it's going to heal them at the same time.
Beautiful.
Brother,
I feel you, man.
That's a wonderful thing.
It is. It's like, you know, I have been, I have been a counselor for children. Like, I started out at a young age. I went to a camp called Camp Chaperoon. It was like part of Camp Menacing, like New York City Mission Society, right? Mm-hmm. For, you know, children, underprivileged kids, broken home, yada, yada, yada. So, you know, at first I went there as a camper, and I really liked the place. I was like, oh my God, fresh air and trees and stuff. It was amazing. I'm, you know, learning about the nature and this and that. Then I went there as a counselor to actually counsel children. You know, like I had to study to be a counselor in training, so I had to take some courses. And the thing is that there are, like, I had a group of 8 kids for a period of 18 days. So it was like, you know, all throughout the summer, 18 days, right? These children are grown now. And these are some children that connect with me, too. Like, man, I remember you as a counselor, and you told me this, and you told me that. And if I could reach out of the 8 kids, if I reach one, then I did my job, you know what I mean? But it's I did my job, because that one is going to reach another one. And then that one is going to reach another one. So it's all about instilling the knowledge and passing it down. And that's the same thing with people, you know, there's people that have Bibles in their houses, but it's like a decoration.
Yep, they got it sitting underneath the table with so much dust on it till you could plant seeds on it.
Yeah, but even if you're not religious, even if you say, okay, not the word of the Lord, but wait a minute, these are standards of living. It's like, it's a blueprint for life. It's a standard to tell you how a man should be with a woman. For what? You're going to pay. This is what we're talking about.
The Bible reference to anything you want to know is in the Bible.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right.
It's in there about the sinners, about the saints, about anything, about how to treat people, about how to live yourself. You understand that it's all in there. You may not understand everything that you read in there. But there are leaders out there that you can actually go to get it. But you know what the real problem is? Too many people have too much pride.
that just won't allow them to go and get help or whatever, or find out what it is that you really want to know. There's too much pride. Pride will kill you. Pride will make you hard. Pride will put you to shame.
It will. I mean, you know, I've been through things with pride. No, just like, yo, man, whatever. You know, you're going to stand with your head high in the face of nonsensical and strict nonsensical madness just because of your pride, even though you're wrong. Pride can make somebody stand fast in their wrongness, knowing that you're wrong, but it's a sense of pride that they, and that's another thing that's in the Bible about pride, you know?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
One of the seven sins is pride.
Yeah, but see, the seven sins are not actually, no, that wasn't from the Bible. That's actually something that, that's like some Greek, like Nostradamus and stuff like that.
Right.
You're talking about sloth, this, that, the other, like
those seven. Yeah.
Right. But it's like, you know, but there are sins. There are, to be prideful is sinful also. You know, it's like, there's all of that. There's all of that that's in there. You know?
Right.
And it's like even in John 10:10, right, where they're talking about live the abundant life, you know, live a life fully. Our God wants us to be happy, you know, and as believers, we're responsible for our happiness. So there's two kinds of temporary happiness and divine happiness. You know, all of this material stuff that we talk about, that's temporary.
That's temporary.
You can't take that with you. But if you
have
a peace of mind, if you have knowledge of self, knowledge of God, whatever your higher power is, if you have knowledge of your higher power, you can achieve some divine happiness. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So
happiness that can't even really be explained.
Yeah, because it's inner peace. You know, the temporary is all that external stuff. The divine is inner peace, and it gives you peace, you know what I'm saying? So that's why there's a lot of people that meditate. And there's going to be storms, too. There's storms going on.
Oh, sure.
It's like we fall down, but we get up. We fall down.
We got to get up before I come right.
You know I got scared.
I tell you, we're gonna have us a karaoke night, a karaoke Wednesday.
Oh,
be on standby. Be on standby, because I want everybody involved.
Only song I knew was I Shot for Sure. Believe me, the one thing I loved was when I went down south, and I lived down there for like 10 years. Now, I'm in Savannah, Georgia. And you know how out here we got every other block is a liquor store. Well, every other block in Georgia is a church. It's like, you know, so you got the choice of churches. There are big there's mega churches where they got the big old screen and all that. There's little churches. There's all of the. And what I found was that a church is a family.
Yeah.
Which is something that people don't have as far as their internal family, with siblings and with there are people in church. In a church, if you find the right church family, they will love you forever. They will
share
the word of God with you. All you have time to do is to study the word. There'll be Wednesday Bible study. There'll be men's group. There'll be midnight prayer.
They have all kind of things, and like you said, in the right church, they have it.
So that you can immerse yourself. When you immerse yourself in the positiveness, if you immerse yourself in the word, all the negativity comes out. All of that stuff just leaves you. It's like, you know what I mean? I'm telling you, it stopped me from being a violent individual. Like, New York is violent. You know what I mean? It's like we bumping into each other. We don't look at each other. It's like, somebody look you in the face. It's like, what you looking at? What you want?
Yeah, you ready to go to war then.
But then when you see something else, when you see that there's something else, where you can go, hey, bless, brother. How you doing? You know, hey. So, hey. Me personally, it helped me. You know what I mean? It helped me to change a little bit and not be, you know, not be violent.
But again, that's where it starts in yourself, because again, we can't control what anybody else does. You know,
through the
word of the Lord, He can help you change yourself. You know, now if I project myself to, you know, with this certain kind of image of people around me, I'm hoping that their eyes are open to seeing how I'm living, to see how,
right.
you know, understand what I'm saying.
Right.
And that's
right.
where, and when you say at home, when it comes to at home, your home is like your sanctuary. I know what I allow and what I don't allow here in my home.
Now, believe me, when I say this, that it's not just, there are people that's going, okay, so they don't want to go and immerse themselves in the word, okay, I understand. You know, it's like, call them, I understand. But yet, immerse yourself in some positivity, you know.
Something positive, that's right.
Let me tell you something positive. Wow, where'd you get that from? Where'd you get that thing? Oh, well, I found that in the Bible. Well, let me tell you something positive. Man, where you get that from? Oh, that's in the Bible. Oh, well, let me tell you something positive. Man, where you get that from? That's in the Bible. Now,
right,
it's
right.
like, yo, it's right here. You can read it. Nowadays, you can even get the Bible on your phone. You know what I'm saying? It's
yep.
like...
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I was going to make that point, too, where, all right, being that the internet now is what everybody does, you still have that's there as a reference as well. There's all kind of Bibles. They have the Good News translation. They have it to where they have the King James Version. They have all types of Bibles. Whatever type of Bible you read, they have it available on your cell phone, on the tablets and stuff like that. So, and you know, even with Dr. King, everybody said he was a reverend doctor. You understand?
Yeah.
The reverend was erased off his name somehow, and when it comes to, but he was a good reverend doctor.
So that's why he was able to go out
with the fear, even with the danger that he knew he was in. It didn't stop him.
It didn't stop
him from delivering speeches and marching and stuff like that, because he had the love of Christ in him.
Yeah, no doubt. But it's just to say that all the positiveness can be found but you got to search for it. It's not like there's somebody going, yo, man, yo, the Bible's on the phone, bro, it's on the phone. Oh, yeah. tell the boys, Bible on the phone. Ain't nobody doing that. But what they doing is going, man, yo, check your cool, he's enjoying out the new joint he got. Oh, he's going in. It's like, you know what I mean? This is what we hear it. Everything is being blah on the web, blah with the music, blah iTunes, blah Amazon, blah commercial, blah the this, the that. It's like, man, I was all day today, right? I'm watching CNN because I want to find out what's going on with Syria. They had it as a footnote, like, something's going on in Syria, but we'll be talking about that later on. But first, here's this woman just won the lottery, and she bought it. You know what I mean? They put all this other crap on.
I'm still
watching the news right now. Mm-hmm. Right now, they got breaking news. President Obama on Syria. I've got an opinion from our military. There need to be international consequences. Responsible for deadly chemical attack. One of them, U.S. inspectors are in suburbs of Damascus, looking at sites where chemical attacks occur. It's like right now they're looking at this stuff, and this is stuff that we gotta take a moment and pray, because if we like we run the world, if we attack Syria and bomb them, they gonna bomb us. We're already getting hacked. You know what I mean? Like the New York Times got shut down. They got hacked. So they couldn't access their web server. They couldn't access the server because they got hacked. And there was a Syrian terrorist group that said they did it. So that means if a Syrian terrorist group could actually hack into that, they can actually take their chemical weaponry, put it in a little bottle, in a little water bottle or whatever, you know what I mean? Put it in the air, send it in a guided plane. So we are in some critical times right now.
What's funny about that, man? They had 11-year-olds that they had at the Pentagon that were hacking in to all these systems. 11-year-olds. So, I mean, Syria is just one of the entities that's doing it, but they had 11-year-old kids hacking in to the government system. you know,
because because it can be done. It's like
because humans run it. That's because humans run it. You understand?
That's right.
But see, you know, if we turn, that's another thing. We turn stuff over the machine. We're in the future right now. This is that future we in. Right now, everything is done on my phone. You know what I mean? I'm like, I got everything on it on a phone. It's like, how that happened? I could get everything. It's amazing what I could do with this. But
yeah.
I'm just saying,
man has created such havoc. The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. For what profit is it to a man if he loses his own soul?
Yeah. Gain the world.
I know you're reading it too. I guess.
No, I memorized that.
I'm messing with you.
Yeah.
I'm clapping too.
I have a question for everyone.
Yes.
All right. Rachel and she and Platinum. I have a question because they did a survey and they said that at this present time, because of the way the world is, that it's better to homeschool your children. And my question is, what do you actually think about that? If you guys can see if you answer.
Yeah, well, I don't want to go first because I'll take too long. Somebody.
Go ahead. You're going to take too long.
You know, and I was supposed to be gone, you know that, right?
Yeah, about a half hour ago. We'll keep the time.
I would more than love to be at home schooling my children. I'd like to spend. First of all, I'm one of those mothers who I'm out there. I work 2 or 3 jobs at a time, so I don't spend a lot of time with my children as it is. But I would more than love to, you know, have the tools to teach my children, spend the time with them, and teach them the way that they should be taught. I mean, I remember my son growing up. He's 20 now. He just turned 20. But I remember growing up, he would come home crying sometimes and say, "Mom, I think my teacher is prejudiced. Mom, my teacher said mean things to me." So many times I wanted to go to that school and just, you know, and take my anger and frustration out on that teacher. So I would more than love to do it. Yes, I would.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. And I also... You know, but the thing that I look at is to make sure that you have a curriculum. You know, when you're teaching your children at home, you have to go to a step-by-step process.
Mm-hmm.
So first, you start with remedial reading. You start with, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic. You know, those are the basics. But once you start going into stuff like algebraic equations and geometry and trigonometry, which is part of mathematics, and also, you know, to have a collegiate vocabulary, that means that you have to be educated in order to educate your children. Because if there's things that you don't know, then they will miss out by not having an education in school. And another thing that children would miss out, I think, if you homeschool, would be social interaction.
So, yeah.
You know, like,
socializing.
So it's like, yeah. But the thing is that, you know, I grew up with, you know, 4 brothers and 2 sisters. So I'm like, I'm the oldest. So I'm helping them every day. I'm helping them with their homework. I'm not doing it for them, but I'm helping them with homework. I'm asking them, well, what did you do in school today?
Right.
Well, we had a ritual. We had a routine where everybody, you know, after we get off out of school, we're going to have us a snack. We're going to say hi to mom. We're going to sit down for a second. Then we're going to the TV. I mean, rather, the TV. We're going to the table, and we're going to sit down and do our work. There's no television.
Yeah, we
got
to get that work done, yeah.
Right.
But, you know, they have a program out now. It's called K-12 where you can do homeschooling.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
I just saw the commercial.
Yeah.
I saw the commercial for that where you can homeschool your children. And,
but you have to be, it has to be accredited. Because, see, they're going to have to take tests, like, you know, aptitude tests. Each year, there has to be an aptitude test to show that they have completed that grade, that specific, you know, whatever level.
Right.
That
right.
Oh, it can be done. I mean, this is, you know, I already know. I know it. I know it can be done. Because I'm like, you know, and the thing is that there's the pros and the cons. but it, you know, this the things with the social interaction. But then sometimes you don't want your children to interact with some of these heathens out there. So then,
yeah, with the
people,
how things are in, yeah.
Right, but if you keep
kids are learning a lot of negative things from out being out in the street.
Well, yeah, yeah. And also
whether
it's like,
whether they you know follow the act or whatever. Is something different, but that doesn't mean that it's not happening out there and that they're not seeing it, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can't be around your kids 24/7. You can't be around them at all times because there's things that just have to be done where you're apart. So,
yeah.
You know,
That's where the scripture's coming again. It says, teach a child that he should go when he's young. And when he's old, he should not depart.
He may be poor,
and he may be like a prodigal son, but at the same time, even when he's young, and when he's old, he will not depart. He'll always come back to what he knows.
That's right. He's gonna go back to the back of his mind and say, oh, wait, my mom or my parents or my father or whoever taught me this. I saw my mom do this. You understand?
Right.
That's like a lot of people come to me now. It's like, wow, if you're not your mother's child, because... You know,
mm-hmm.
a lot of different things, and a lot of things I do are like my mom. You know,
right.
And that's a wonderful thing because my mom's
different.
A good woman. She's a good,
yeah.
hardworking woman. So, you know, they see
right.
her, and this is how the spirit of Christ lives. This is how the spirit of Christ lives, and people don't understand that. They think they're gonna walk on the porch and see him standing there. No, he lives through us.
And that's
he lives through us. That's what makes him alive. He lives through us. And we're supposed to live as he was.
But see, the thing is that when you got them, when you have them young, and when you got your babies, they're babies. They're there for you to mold,
mm-hmm.
and for you to nurture, for you to actually instill your knowledge into them and your philosophy on life into them.
Absolutely.
Because this is stuff that they're going to remember. But there's too many people that don't have a philosophy on that, or that neglect their children. There are so many children that are part of what they call them crack babies. They don't have any attention span. There's cycles. There's children that's growing up and they just want to kill people. I was just watching. This thing,
no structure.
Well, it is about this guy named Pistol Pete, who at 23 years old, he got life in prison because he was just killing people and he's selling crack and he's going to Michigan and whatever. It's like, there's people that like that. And he set it up. He did all of this stuff and went to prison for the rest of his life, but he already did it now. Now,
mm-hmm.
that means his philosophy is spread from state to state. You know what I mean?
Look at those three kids over in Oklahoma that shot the man running just because they were bored.
Yeah.
Right.
But see,
they
just put that on the news, like, you know. But there are other people doing that stuff. There's people in the hood that be like, yo, they put you bumping on the steps. Yo, man, what's up, man? Why you bumping? Why you bumping at me? Man, bang!
Right.
And that's all you heard, but you ain't going to hear about it on the news. Another black man gone. People dying every day.
Every single day.
For nothing. For nothing. And for just like, back in the day, it used to be, yo, don't step on my sneaker, man.
I was just watching Do the Right Thing, and that's what happened. Dude said,
yeah, that's just
what I'm doing.
And the fights used to be fair, but back then. Back then, we used to go, you know, blow for blow, fighting. Now, people pulling out a gun with the quickness.
You know,
crazy.
Part about it. It takes a tragedy, a very bad tragedy, for them to step up to the plate. That's like what's going on here in Asbury right now.
Yeah.
This kid got killed a couple of weeks ago. Now, they had a shooting in the daytime right across the street from the church. You know, and it's retaliation. So now they heavy on the news about the cops need to step up. They need to step up.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. I mean, you know, regardless, we got cops walking around every day, but it's still happening.
Yeah.
You can't control everything that's going on out here.
I was speaking to one of my residents in the nursing home that I work at.
and she's a Jehovah's Witness, but I listened to her anyway. She's bedridden. She can't get up. But she was saying, she said, first of all, she has a lot of pictures from when she was able to get up and around. And she was taking pictures with big cats and these tigers and stuff. And I asked her, I said, what were you thinking taking these pictures with these big cats?
Yeah.
She said, well, this is how it's going to be. You know, we're going to all end up being able to walk hand in hand with one another and be next to the animals, and they not have to attack us, and no one's going to attack each other. And she said, that's how it's going to be. And it's in the Bible. And so, well, she opened my eyes. Normally, when a Jehovah's Witness come knocking on my door, I tell them, listen.
I turn them away,
Yeah, there's a map of people's houses that you're not supposed to go to. Put me on that map. But I sat and I listened to that lady, and she nearly brought tears to my eyes. And, you know, we want it to be peaceful.
Yes, we want it to be peaceful, but it's not peaceful. Hey, just to reiterate, that's how it was before we became corrupt, before civilization. In the times before Christ, the BC, you know.
Yes.
These were times where everybody was together in unity, and it was like the Native Americans. Okay, let's use that for example. All they were doing, they were buffalo everywhere. You know why? Because they didn't kill all the buffalo. They didn't kill them for the skin. They respected the buffalo because they know that they eat from the buffalo. So now they have a ritual where they pray over them. They're going to eat the meat. They're going to use the skin. They use every part of the animal, and they apologize for having to take the animal's life. But this is part of the nature, and it's part of the pray for the spirit of the animal, and it goes on. But now it's like we mass manufacture these animals. We're manufacturing chickens. We're manufacturing cows. We're manufacturing pigs. We're making up with everywhere you look, there's all the animals that we eat are being manufactured and raised quickly because of supply and demand. So as the population gets bigger, how did we get on this?
Listen, I got a question, man. You talk about buffalo. My question is, where did they get buffalo wings from? Now that you mentioned buffalo, but that's another topic.
Buffalo wings. Actually, the name came from as that's where they allegedly originated the recipe and stuff from is in buffalo. That's where buffalo wings come from. I was just watching that on Channel 170.
Then I will take that as a fact. But, however, in my opinion, I think buffalo wings is just because of its big wings and they giant wings and they got sauce on them and they call it the buffalo wing sauce and they just made a name up. You know what I mean? Like Kentucky Fried Chicken. They don't fry it in Kentucky. It's like, you know, that's the name of the brand.
Yeah, right.
And then since they started manufacturing chickens, and the chickens, they made the wings real big, and the, you know, they started making deformed chickens. Now they call them KFC because they can't call it Kentucky Fried Chicken anymore.
It's KFC because they build the chickens anyway. They don't raise them.
Because they're not really chickens.
It's not real meat. Yeah, it's not real
chicken
meat.
Chicken parts.
You see, they don't have no bone. You see the commercial, like, you ate the bone?
Yeah, you ate the bone. How you get boneless wings? You can't. There's no way you get boneless wings.
Exactly. That's a red flag right there. That's a red flag. People are paying money for it. They're making money off
it. I make chicken wings, and I'm like, and sometimes I try to scrape the bone, the meat off the bone, but I'm like, this ain't here.
That's not even gonna work, right?
Yeah,
what way you know that got all that meat on it anyway? You know, wings and a little bit of meat.
But yeah, they do regular wings, but not them big buffalo wings.
Oh no, we know.
No, we
done totally changed up the conversation.
I know. We done went from Martin Luther King to Buffalo
Wings. That kind of ran, though. Wait a minute.
Nothing like great conversation, though.
It helps the soul out to keep, you know, to clear the soul of what you got going on there. People get things all bottled up, and then that's when you start going bananas.
Hey, you know, I'm an MC, so you know I talk forever.
I know that's right. All day long.
You know, she said all day long.
All
yeah,
day
right.
Long.
She know from experience that I just be running my mouth.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Now we appreciate the knowledge, the jewels and stuff,
and
you
the
drop.
Feedback and everything.
Yeah, exactly. No doubt.
Hey, I got love for you. I got love for GQ Palace and for everything
love
that you do.
Fox too.
No doubt, that's a beautiful band. No question. and you already know. But it's like, you know, I get on a rant because it's like it's knowledge and it's educational, and I would stop whatever I do to educate. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, and that's what it do. That's what it's supposed to do. You ain't supposed to learn something and keep it to yourself. You understand what I'm saying? And then you have some people that are just non-receptive. They're like, oh, he think he know everything. You understand what I'm saying? Like, listen.
Yeah.
I do know a lot of stuff, and I want to share that. You understand? So
I know a lot of stuff.
But I also
want to
learn while, you know, because it's things that you don't know that somebody else could be talking about.
That somebody else knows, exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
And I like to listen, too, though. I don't just want to, you know, talk. I like to listen.
You say you like to listen or
you
like to talk?
We believe you. Even when you're laughing at yourself, we believe you.
I'm laughing. I am laughing at myself.
Yeah.
I like to listen to. No, it's funny because...
Andy.
Huh?
What are you saying? He likes to listen to the archives?
And guess what he go hear? He go hear him talking.
Oh, boy. But I tell you one thing. This is positive, and this is something. And I hope that there's a lot of listeners. You should be hitting this phone up. The GQ should be blowing up right now. Because it's like, you know, there are so many things that even though we covered from Martin Luther King, we covered racism, we covered the 60s, we covered the times, we covered all of that, we covered Buffalo Wings, the indigenous people that was there, you know, we covered all of that. So
that's
it's
right.
Like anybody,
internet,
anybody,
mathematics, all kinds of stuff on it.
Yeah, and for the listeners, I just say anybody, they don't just have to listen. That's right, clap one act, you know what I mean? They don't just have to listen, you know, for all the listeners, you don't have to just listen. Suck a caller and express your opinion. You know what I mean? Because
exactly.
Go ahead.
Yeah. That's what this forum is for. That's why there's a forum such as this, as GQ Palace, so that y'all can have something to talk about, something to just with like-minded individuals, people that think like you do. You know what I mean? Because it's like it's not black and white. It's not China, it's for everybody.
And knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. It makes you a powerful person. You understand what I'm saying?
When
you have that knowledge, when you know what you can stand for because you know what you're talking about, or you know what somebody else is trying to get over on you with, it just makes you a powerful person. You understand? So
it's called information. Information is power. The more you know, it's just like knowing that I'm Civil Five and that I have a site called www.reformation.com. Civil Five, you know what? I'm just saying, it's like that information.
Man, I didn't hear what you said.
I'm just saying that I'm Civil Fox, the legendary MC. And you can even get free downloads of my music at www.soundcloud. That's the sound. You know, I gotta add
SoundCloud.com
and put a slash and put Silver Fox Music US, and you could listen to some of this good music. Like, I got a song called The Mist, which is, and it tells a story about life, and it's like, you know.
Yeah.
And just to say, just a little brief thing. He goes, her name was Kay. She was 8 years old in third grade here in braids and barrettes, and after school she don't play. Every day mama's boyfriend picked her up in a Chevrolet and touched her up in the wrong way. The last thing she heard her mom say was, hey Kay, while I'm working, you gotta behave and obey everything you say. As he click off the lights, pull down the shades on the bed she lays, eyes closed as she prays, then God take me away to a place where clouds are blue, never gray. Who hears, who cares, who feels the tears of an 8-year-old living in fear, crying for mama, but mom's not there. It's just him and the smell of beer in the air, while upstairs, gun in his mouth with his gun ready to cap out. Had his whole world mapped out till he got cracked out, credit cards maxed out, bank account depleted. His wife, he left him, said he had a habit, had defeated. He's all alone, sitting in the dark, drinking, sinking, further town, thinking that he might drown. Some might scream, but he don't make a sound. He keeps his finger on the trigger and he twists through the mist. Ha! That's a sample. Hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Clap it up.
We actually played that on Monday.
The legendary Silver Fox.
Yeah.
You played it? You played it on Monday?
Yeah, we played that on Monday's show. Yes, we did.
Let's play the song. It's like I want to put some positive out there. You know what I mean? And it's like, I'm not going to get famous by it, because the radio is not perpetuating positivity. What they want you to go is, you guys have to, I don't even want to say those words.
That got to do with sex and materialism.
Sex, money, drugs. Matter of fact, I was just watching something about a crew called Sex, Money, Murder. It's like that's their name of their clique. And it's like, and that's just what they perpetuate: sex, money,
and guess what?
Drugs.
People are gonna buy it.
Yep.
That's the sad part. People are actually gonna follow that and buy it or whatever, regardless of how the name sounds.
They getting it because that's how they think.
This is what the radio has your brain trained to do.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Shout out to
OG Silver Fox is in the building. I love y'all.
I love all my people out here that's listening. When I say I love, man. It's with my heart. And it's like, I ain't just some regular dude. You know what I'm saying? I got education. You know what I mean? I've been here. I did this. Oh, and there it go. Moment of silence.
All right, we're going to pause and listen to Silver Fox's song, The Mist.
Okay, this is Silver Fox playing. Like a snooze. Radio, love it.
Like a cloud of smoke, baby. Twist through the mist. That's right. Walk with me. That's right. Yo, her name is Kate. She was 8 years old in the third grade. Hearing braids and barrettes, and after school, she don't play. Every day, mama's boyfriend will pick her up in a Chevrolet and touch her up in the wrong way. The last thing she heard her mom say was, hey, Kay, while I'm working, you gotta behave and obey everything he say. As he click off the lights, pull down the shades on the bed she lays, eyes closed as she prays, then God, take me away to a place where clouds are blue but never gray. Who hears? Who cares? Who feels the tears of an 8-year-old, living in fear, crying for mama, but mom's not there. It's just him and the smell of fear in the air. While upstairs, gun in his mouth, ready to cap out. Had his whole life mapped out till it got cracked out. Credit cards maxed out, bank account depleted. Wife, he left him, said he had a habit, had defeated. AIDS crept into your bloodstream and left your body a mess. You can't digest. Mama lays your head in the breast, wipes the sweat from your brow. Say your rest now, it's for the best now. Somehow you can't forget how that lifestyle got you taking your last breath. And you ain't even 20 yet, didn't suspect, didn't expect it would be like this. The last thing you feel is your mom's kiss as you twist through the mist from uptown. Another body found in the dumpster, another youngster, burnt beyond recognition. I told him it was her mother, but who listened? Until she confessed, she said,
said she did it all cause she was stressed. Now tell me what's stress? That thing between angry and depressed. Make you wake up in the morning, beat your fist on your chest, walk out the door, put your walls in the hall so your hands bleed. For the whole world closing in, you can't breathe. Last thing you need is a baby crying. So you lash out for the blood gushing from his mouth. What you done did? Killed your only kid. Look at your blood so fishy, going, oh, shh, no way out of this. You twist to the mist. Thinking he could blast on anybody. Didn't last long. Messed with the wrong somebody. When they found his body, he was in a fetal position. Ears was missing, cause he didn't listen. So he became an example or a symbol to the evil that men do, like they did Ken do. When she was just a baby, dressed her up like a lady. Now she's living shady. They call her crazy lady. I saw it all in my lifetime. Been through a life of crime. Been in the wrong place at the right time. Left good friends of mine behind. Now good friends of mine have been doing jail time since Melly Mel was singing White Lines. Go figure, do the math, but don't ask me no question. I saved the best for last, as a matter of fact, the blessing. What's the moral to the story? The moral is, there isn't. That's just how it is, just how it is. Now check this.
Thank you. That was what's up.
That was Silver Fox, the Myth. Very nice. Very nice.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And it's for people. It's just, you know, give a message about, you know what I mean, about life and about things that people go through. And it's like, you know what I mean, I got kids, and a lot of people, they got, there's so many families that are touched by abuse that have, you know, children that has been abused, you know, your loved ones that's been abused, and it's like just to tell the tale that it's out there, you know.
Yes, that was a
great message.
That was a good message, and to reiterate on our topic tonight, we went from fighting for racial
mm-hmm.
Injustice and stuff
mm-hmm.
to now fighting for popularity and
mm.
for fame.
Mm.
And stuff like that. You understand what I'm saying? And it's good that you create your own music. I'm going to enjoy my music because I know what I'm speaking about. You understand what I'm saying?
That's what I'm talking about.
The music nowadays is just, because I'm a writer of music myself.
Yes.
And it's just the messages that they come out with now is corruption. It's very
corruption. It makes people think they have to follow suit.
They have to follow
suit. It's like, God, man, in order for me to do it, I got to be like these guys. I got to say, hey, I'll shoot you in the head, blow you away, and suck your chain.
Right.
I'm like, cool,
right.
I'm so dope. Who you
and
shooting?
Then I'm a man. Then they feel like they're a man because they did it.
Man.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know,
Divas,
we have Kia waiting on the line. We're going to bring her in. Kia, are you there?
Okay.
Yes.
Hey, Kia. Hey, guys.
Hey. Hi, Kia. Welcome.
Hi, Kia.
I'm sorry, I have to do my fantasy, and I'm not a happy camper right now.
Oh. Well, get happy, honey, because we
know. I cannot believe we lasted this long. Go ahead, I'm sorry. What is the topic?
We speaking happy and positive things, so get happy. You'll be okay.
I know.
Get happy, get positive.
Thank
just fantasy,
you
right? It's just
fantasy.
Yeah, we're going to try to make you feel better, Kia.
Oh, no, no, I'm fine. It's just, you know how I am about football and fantasy. So I'm
yes.
all right. I'm all right.
Well, tonight we're just, commemorating the 50-year anniversary of the March on Washington.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, and we were just speaking of, we had many different topics tonight, all in a reflection of where we were 50 years ago and where we are now.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Isn't that the same thing with, if you read Batman the Queen's book, where do we go from here? I think they talked about, today they were talking about the 5 minutes that I guess everybody actually heard his speech. But actually, it's a longer version of what he talked about. And then that whole thing concept about when he was in Memphis until the day before, actually the 22nd and the 23rd, and leading up to the 28th, which is actually today. So if you never heard it, you need to look for it and hear the whole entire speech, not just the speech that he's known for speaking everybody hear about.
Good.
It's more. I've learned through the years. I guess because it's Southern roots, because I always think about my grandfather, because you look at him, when we go back, we think about his staff and age, you talk about the dream, and everybody talk about the dream. My grandfather was the type of man, he could spend 20-something years, he said 27, I think it's 27, in the military, he cannot vote, but he can fight for his country. So, the day when, the president, we first got to elect our first black president, it was like so personal. He got a call from all his grandkids from across the state, United States, was almost in the court. And we all called him because, the first time he got to live with the vote for, whoever in the front, he would have, I guess, 1895 or electric black man as a president. He didn't think this in his lifetime. He saw a lot of injustice, especially in that great state of South Carolina with this race injustice, where you could pull up at a gas station and somebody got on the back of their car. I love the KKK. You took it like, oh, okay, let me pump my gas right now. I'm just in the break.
Yeah.
You like, wow, I'm in South Carolina SCC last year. You see them and they just look at you, look at them like, yo, but one thing about the South, they don't hide their presence. So you don't see it.
Oh, you really don't?
The North, they hide it. But in the South, you don't see it. Very clearly when you walk in the when you go to a store in Charleston, South Carolina, and a white woman tells the manager of a restaurant that she is for because it's a group of black people, and the manager goes to that group of black people asking that they have to leave. Right? You kidding me? And this is 2 days ago in Charleston, South Carolina. So this is where we have come 50 years later.
Wow. That's deep.
Yeah.
So we have to understand, they always say the difference between a dreamer and a visionary. A dreamer keeps his eyes closed, but visionary keeps his eyes wide open.
Beautiful.
Yes. Yes. Like you said, and to hear the stories again, from our forefathers, our elders.
You have to listen,
like that.
Because
again, that happened to, like I said, my great grandmother. She's using the bathroom. They drug her out with her pants down off the toilet. You understand what I'm saying? And this is stories I didn't read about it. This is what we heard from her mouth.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And to hear, and then this is what I have to tell my children or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Stories that I have to tell them. And now it's so much that's there that we still don't know. You understand what I'm saying? And this is where we have to take the now, which is the internet, and find all of that information out.
I was blessed because longevity was a certain side of my family. In 1989, I had this great great aunt. She lived to be 116. I was blessed because we would always go home. When we were in Oklahoma, and we would go home and South Carolina. I would understand the words she was saying. But this is what's been happening to my great grandfather, who died in 2006. He was 100. And this man, I was just, and everybody always wonder why I got so, the team members, I said, because they were one, the stuff that I know, I got it from them. So when they see the family book that I show you right in the family book, like the history and everything, they would say, well, who, I said, why did he say this? And they would look at the stuff in his handwriting, And it's unbelievable all the stuff that I know he's been through as a black man living in South Carolina and during them times in that era.
Well, yeah, and again, that's why we were saying too about our children nowadays. They really don't understand how blessed they are, and that they're not taking. They don't know how to really receive the blessings that they have because, again, 50 years ago, people were still being lynched and stuff like that because you looked at a white person the wrong way or just walking down the wrong street or whatever.
You know, not just, it wasn't just 50 years ago. It was actually like 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that, I mean,
it wasn't that long ago.
That's exactly what they're saying today. They're saying, like, this movie wasn't that. How are you going to know somebody more negative? I'll never forget my freshman year. I took an African American studies class. I just wanted to take it. It was not even in my major in college or whatever. It was just a class I wanted to take because I was fond of African American studies. And I went to class, and this professor, profound professor, said, the first he said, I'm going to give y'all a quiz. And he just, if none of y'all cool about African American studies, he said he wanted everybody to write down the National Negro Anthem. And you know, it was a couple of white people that took the class. You know, me and another white person. He calls us out and said, "This doesn't make any sense." The majority of people in the class, only two people, and one of them is not offended of a black knew the National Negro Anthem. How many of us do know that? I was like, you know, I was like, you don't know that? Oh my God, who don't know that? You supposed to know that? This is what my grandfather instilled in his brain. This is what we were taught. You're supposed to know that. You're supposed to know the struggle. You're supposed to know those terms. You're supposed to know what those cotton. So you're supposed to know what they did from sun up to sundown. You're supposed to know how full cabbage you want for 3 days. And when you, oh, man, this is how, you know, my ancestors, they look at us now. He's the only one in the house. It's got all this stuff. And then my mother, great aunt, don't talk about please. The same shoes that they come home and pick up their church clothes to pick up every day. And y'all talk about play clothes? What is play clothes? I'm like, wow. You know, this is stories. I'm like, wow. Yeah, blessed beyond blessed.
Yeah.
Stars and Divas, we have Chicky Chick waiting on the line. Chicky Chick, are you there? Chicky Chick. Are you on the air?
Chick?
Hi, this is Chick.
And bye.
Yeah, how you doing?
Okay. No, it's just me, Fox. Trying to fill up some dead space, that's all. Y'all could call in everybody. Yo, I'm still here, so I don't know why they got me still here. I'm watching football. Too.
Because we need you here. You've been making good points, and you want to be here.
Yeah,
that's
I want to be here. I'm like, yo. I love it. I love this. This is what's up. You know what I mean? And I'm telling you, it's like, you know, she's talking about down south. Yeah, no doubt. She was talking about down south, and it's like just to reiterate, it's like my mother, she actually had to leave from the south because her mother was going to be lynched by these people because of something she said to a white man. I mean, you know,
right.
And that was those times. And not just, you know, I don't care about my chronological. I'll state this, too. I mean, because when I was like 8 years old, you know what I mean? I remember when Kennedy got killed, you know, when Kennedy was assassinated. And even at that time, in my young age, it was still prejudices, and there was the church bombing was going down, and there was, all our leaders were starting to get killed off. It was like, you know, Kennedy's doing something. Lyndon Bean Johnson. Okay, back even back before Kennedy, when Lyndon Bean Johnson took over after Kennedy, my bad, okay. Lyndon Bean Johnson, he signed the declaration to make sure that for civil rights, you know what I mean, for desegregation of schools. So when I was going to school, I'm up in Harlem, and I'm 8 years old, so I'm already in the third grade. Or whatever. So when I'm going to school, I mean, we had some white people in my class. They because I'm in Grant, which is on 125th, and right across the street from me are co-op buildings, which are like, you know, they're cooperatives, which is self-explanatory. It's like, you know, they're paying for it. They're going to make it. It's not a project. But so those people were going, some of them were going to the public school, which is, you know, my public school was right on my block. So it's like we had black, white, Chinese, you know what I mean? And the only time I was seeing, because I'm on my whole world was Harlem, and the only time I was seeing the prejudice was watching television. And I'm watching all of these people and what they were going through and in the South. And that's when my mother told me the history of the country. And it's like, and I went down there to Savannah, Georgia, and I saw my grandfather. He was living down there. And he lived to be 98 years old.
Wow.
But when I went to see him, I was asking him about Georgia and about the South and how, and they were so, you know, and I'm not saying nothing about the South. I'm just saying my opinion on the things that I have seen with my, that it was like the way slavery and the way they were treating people down in the South and the way they were instilling fear, even after they were having schools be segregated, and even after they were able to go to colleges and start to be desegregated, there was still the element of fear. You know what I mean? There was the element of fear because they still had the Klan with the hoods. They still had the people that believed in it. You know, they still had the Southern Belles. They still had, you know, and this was like, wow.
Right.
And Savannah, Georgia, right there on the dock on River Street, is a place that was a cotton exchange.
Exactly. It's still there, too. It's still there.
Excuse me, guys. It's a lot of feedback coming from the background, and it's hard to hear what the callers are saying. So whatever it is, whoever it is, could you please, like, tone it down, please?
And we have Sticky Chick. We're going to start this again. Sticky Chick, the comedian, are you there? Sticky
Chick,
the comedian.
I'm listening to y'all. What's going on? I'm listening
hey,
to y'all.
Chick.
Hey, y'all. What's up, y'all?
Hey.
Right?
Hi, Chick.
It's our anniversary. It's our anniversary today. 50-year anniversary. Somebody got up and said something positive, man. All the negative stuff.
Yes,
something positive to come out.
That's what it is. And that's what we have to spew out, positivity. You understand what I'm
Amen.
Saying? Otherwise,
if you
put out negative, you're
going to
get back negative.
All positive here, man. I'm feeling so blessed, man. It's crazy, man. I'm just so happy, y'all. I don't know. I'm so happy. I don't know if everybody else happy. I'm happy.
Yeah, that's what's like. Your happiness is spreading. That's what it's doing.
Hey, then I don't even know if anybody knew, but I was, if you was watching, like, the inauguration or, And, you know, they had, like, a little Twitter comments at the bottom of BET, man. My joint came up there. BET retweeted my tweet. I don't know if y'all know that, like, Twitter.
Well, you know, man, that's what's up.
Retweeted
what's up.
I was at the bottom, man. I got, you know, my Twitter account kind of blew up, man, on the inauguration Saturday. And I was super bad. You can't tell me nothing, man.
What was the tweet you put up?
I'm about to,
Take your time, you know, we can talk while you do that, you know, multitask. Yeah, take your time. Yeah, so your Twitter account, anyway. Check the comedian, check the comedian, everything is check the comedian. Yeah, that's what's up, you can spell that. I'll put up there, yeah, what's up?
I don't know if y'all all heard about the, I guess, you know, I guess President Obama spoke today and, you know, and then I guess on my page, there's some people, because a lot of people on my page, they know my family's heavy bullets and I still got two Navy brothers. So they're sitting here, you know, okay, the president spoke, now tomorrow he's going to fight a war in Syria. And I'm sitting here like, I don't get into that type of rhetoric because, you know, they're saying, you know, what Scott King didn't believe in, war and, you know, fighting and stuff like that. But I didn't want to get into that, you know, when I saw it, when he put it there. And, you know, there probably will be a attack on Syria tomorrow after the 28th year anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we address that? I mean, you know, that's...
Yeah, see, the thing is that, in my opinion, though, too, is that America is just doing it for economic reasons, economical reasons, because we have business in Syria. You know, we want to do business with Syria, and the Syrian rebels are the ones that's bombing, that use the chemical weapons. So now it's a war against the rebels in Syria. So that's something that they want to quell, because they want it's all political. It's all politics, too. And the thing is, though, the use of nuclear weapons opens up a whole new game in war. So if we're going to war with them, there's going to be terrorists coming over here to actually release chemical weapons. So now we have to change up. Our whole life will change behind it, just like it changed behind 9/11. At least this is my opinion. You know, 9/11, it's like, you know, when they bombed, you know, America, now we got, in Penn Station, they got people with machine guns, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And in 42nd, you know, at the bus terminal or whatever, and even in San Diego and other places I've been to, it's all a military structure. So this is just going to up the game, because now it's going to be nuclear. And it, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy. What's your opinion?
You know what?
I hear you. That's a lot to get.
Right now, you think you're just coming back from another battle, but you know, it's something that, you know, it's Benji or Dre that calls. But I wasn't sure yet, because I don't give out the information, because, I mean, you know, they're friends. My family don't speak out the information yet, because we don't know. We know they've been told to be on duty, that ship will be leaving out of so-and-so, if whatever, there be any old ship.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to give out that information. It doesn't even need to be, you know.
Yeah.
He is the commander in chief. If he says that we have to go, they have to go, they have to go. He's the commander.
But, you know,
he's the
thing
right
is,
now.
Yeah, the thing is, though, is that there's a policy and procedure that he has to go through. So he has to address the people. He has to tell us, actually say, okay, this is my reason why I'm about to do this.
Oh, yeah,
so, you know, sooner or later, every channel is going to show the president, because he has to speak to the whole America. He has to talk to
mm-hmm.
all of us, because he has to let us. And then there's a whole thing where he has to talk to the Senate, and he has to talk to the people in government. He has to talk to and let them know that this is the decision of the president
He's going to make that statement tonight. I'm quite sure he's going to make that statement tomorrow. If he is the first bit tomorrow, he probably will make that announcement. But right now, they are in alert for a war tomorrow.
Yeah, they're in alert for it. And now, it's probably going to
be
all-night.
And rumors of wars.
Yeah.
There's going to be an all-night summit in order to review all the evidence and all the information.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they keep it away from the people. That's what I was talking about, too. I was watching CNN all day.
But I don't think it affects the 50, because, you know, the 50 would never, the 50 is remembrance of 50 years ago. I don't think, you know, don't try to put, because of what's going to happen tomorrow, because, I don't know stuff like that. People start to, you know, that's why you got to be careful if you listen to a read. Because people can say stuff and mix up things, and you got to learn to separate stuff and learn to separate foolishness. I would always
agree
with this.
You
can sit here and say stuff. I don't listen to it.
Well, we know how once the media get their hands on something too,
how they can
twist stories around. We know how the media does.
True. Yeah,
they
true.
Do anything for ratings. We were talking
mm-hmm.
about this earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's why you got to be careful.
Selling themselves. They'll fabricate a story in a minute to sell themselves.
Yeah.
Right. That's like a rumor.
Not that it's actually happening, but
mm-hmm.
you know.
And then they know. Yeah. We don't know until we, you know, I know that they've been told, because most,
mm-hmm.
you know, most family members have been notified. My mother was notified last night. You know, it's my mother called my mother and told them. But it's not for me to be. I mean, it is what it is. My prayers are with them. You know, and nothing else I can do about that. Nothing.
Yeah, because you got to realize our parents called hell back then. I mean,
mm-hmm.
seriously.
And it, I don't think that we would be able to survive it if we had to do it.
Oh, please.
Your knees and scrub a floor for a quarter.
You know? We wouldn't. You know what, Keith? You are absolutely what? That's how much. That's what my mother, she always laughs about my generation. You know, y'all generation, though, you're clueless here. I'm not, you could sacrifice all of it together because that's our generation. Yeah, you know, you have that. That's why I always know I listen with an open ear. But I'm not in agreement, but I listen with open ear. But I may not be in agreement,
right.
But I'm going to listen. But you're not going to get me to say, oh, no, I don't, no, I do not agree. Then it's the time
right.
for you to talk. I'm going to tell you the reason why I do not agree.
Right.
That's the,
yeah,
that's
you can sit down
thing.
And discuss it like adults. You know,
right.
we're going to have a discussion. You know, I mean,
it's nothing
not every,
to,
we,
nothing,
we're not
going to
like
agree.
Everything that
exactly.
happens.
Exactly, exactly. We're not going to agree. Agreement kills a chat. We're not going to like everything everybody does say, but we're going to listen with open ear.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
take it as a
yeah.
Well, with that said, we are winding down. We are coming to a close of our segment of the show. Immediately following our show, you have Chicky Chick, the comedian with Fallout Comedy, from 9 to 10. And right now we'll give everybody a chance to have, we'll give you about 30 seconds to have a final thought. And we'll start with Dave. We'll start with you, Dave.
Let me just pull over here real quick. My final thought is this. As far as politics, I consider that to be politics because that's basically what is going on up in the in those closed room doors. You're tricking everybody that's in the world. When somebody says to me, hey, what's up? I say a duck's butt when he's eating. And when America is eating, that's all we're going to see is a duck's butt because you're not going to get any of that food. Be careful what you see and what you hear on the media because at the end of the day, it's still ran by the Rupert Murdochs and the government as a whole because they control what is said and what is seen on the media. Take care of your children. Be there for your children. And mothers and fathers, make sure and govern what your daughters wear because at the end of the day, you don't want a man that likes your daughter just based on what he sees. You want a man that loves your daughter based on what he knows. Okay,
exactly.
And that's basically my end of comic. Platinum Fox, it's a pleasure hearing your voice, man. It's a pleasure hearing your logic. Rachel and T
just
and
to rename
Tia.
You.
Yeah. it's a blessing to have this forum on a Wednesday
yes,
to you know to hear what is going on in the world and get it from a different perspective.
Yes,
Rich, I didn't hear him tonight, but. My thoughts, my prayers goes out to him, Lavina, at all times because, you know, at the same time, when you're doing positive things, you're going to have spiritual darts and different arrows coming at you. So we got to pray for them as well.
Right.
That's the end of my statement. I love you all. God bless.
Love you too. Bless you too.
Bless.
Okay.
Bless.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave. We're gonna go to Platinum Fox. For his final thought. We're gonna give you about a minute, cause we.
Yeah. I'm gonna cut it real short. I was thinking while he was talking to me, I was listening. It's just to say that this is all, you know, today is a blessed day. It's 50 years that you know we're celebrating 50 years of a march on Washington, Martin Luther King's greatest speech like ever. And just the unity of people, you know, to show that, yes, we are people. We are, and even Jesse Jackson, you know, when he was to say, hey, I am somebody. That was my chant. Yeah. I am somebody. We are somebody. We all are somebody on this planet. And just to say that, you know, with what we're going to go through in these times, it's what we're living in right now. You know, what we celebrate is how we got here. We celebrate the life and the times, and we look at it, and we got to reiterate that we need our heroes, that we are somebody in this world, you know, just to reiterate upon that. You know, that's something that these kids need to know, that they are somebody. Even when they feel like they're down, even when they feel like you don't have to kill your people, you don't have to sell crack to them. Why don't you talk to them? Why don't all of y'all pull together? Don't worry about it. If you're down, then we could pick each other up. We can make each other stand tall instead of bringing each other down all the time, instead of knocking it down. That's all I'm saying. is that it's all about that, you know, and that's all it is. I don't want to go into what's going on right now because it's going on right now. But today, that's going. That was our past. That's our history. We earned that. I'm a black man, you know. So I know that. I'm like, I lived through that era. I lived through the time when he was assassinated, when Kennedy was assassinated. You know what I'm saying? Through the fights for civil rights, I've seen this, you know, with my eyes. You know what I mean? I've been here chronologically. So that's all I want to say. And I got love for GQ Colors. And I got love for all of y'all. And
thank you
Lavina,
so much. Thank you so much, Silver Fox.
I had to stay on the line for this show, you know what I mean? So I appreciate y'all. And it's 100. Peace.
Okay.
And that's my final thought.
Later.
Peace. Okay, Kim.
Yeah, I'm going to listen to somebody else's final thought. Hey,
I have no final thought, guys. It's just 50 years and all the rest 53 years. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah, there we go. There we go.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in. Okay, we're going to go to our Diva Rachel now. If there's a Chicky Chick.
Hello? What's up, y'all?
Is Chick still on the line? Chick.
Yeah.
You have a final
right
thought?
Here, y'all. I'm right here.
Okay.
I'm here. You want me to
you have a final thought?
You have a final thought?
Yeah, I got a final thought, man. Everybody got to realize, man, what today was supposed to mean. It wasn't about being proud of being a black person, man. It's about being proud to be treated as a person. So that's what
exactly.
I realized, man. So, you know, when somebody say, I'm proud to be black, what else should you be? I'm proud to be a father. What else should I be? You know what I mean? I'm proud to be a man. What else should I be? So being proud of what you are is something different. Being proud of how you're being treated is a whole different thing. So I'm proud that that my people fought for me to be treated as a man, as an American, as a, you know what I mean, as somebody to be respected, man. And that's what I really look at, man. I don't cross no borders about no racial, racial lines, anything, man. Because when I meet my maker, man, when he going to ask me what did I do, he ain't going to ask me what somebody else did to me.
Exactly.
Yeah, but just real quick. Hey, I'm one of those people that fought for that. You know what I'm saying? I'm 56 years old, my brother, and I did this. I've been there. You know what I mean? I saw it. I'm just saying. That's why I'm proud to be black. I was there when James Brown was saying, say it loud, I'm black, I'm proud. I was there.
No,
I'm just saying it to the world, too. Hey, I was there. I was there when it was like, yo, when Jesse Jackson had us putting our fist up, when the Olympics was won, and they had the hands up for black power, and it was a controversy, and I still got the newspaper. I was there. You feel me? I was there for all of that. That's all I got to say.
Okay.
Peace.
All right, Kia.
She said she didn't have.
Okay, Kia said her piece already.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now we're gonna turn it over to our divas because the time is of the essence right now. We have to keep order, and we're gonna go to Diva Rachel.
All right. Y'all know I'm gonna keep it quick, fast. First and foremost, I want to give honor to God because without him, none of this would be possible. I want to show my love for our CEO. Rich, our exec, Lavina, GQ Palace, the whole GQ Palace family, the host, the callers, the listeners, my fellow divas, P and Angie, I love y'all.
Yeah.
I want to thank the callers.
I
want to thank the callers, Nancy, Dave, Silver Fox, Kia, all the listeners. Love y'all. My take, my final thought, I'm a child of God, and I'm proud. I'm an African-American, and I'm proud. I'm black and I'm proud. And I am grateful to be a part of the movement to see that we have overcome in so many ways. And we have our President of the United States as our fellow African American. On that note, I'm going to turn it over to my Diva T.
All right. Now, thanks to everybody, you know, the GQ family. I love you all, guys. My divas, definitely, I love you guys. And my thing is to learn to love one another. Life is short. Let's come together in unity and be a family, you know, because it's time waits for no one. And as Chick said, you know, the maker is not going to ask us what the other person did. It's all about us. So let's come together and love one another. And that's my final thought. And Angie.
Okay. Again, we'd like to thank all our callers, Nancy J, Silver Fox, Kia, Chicky Chick, and I thank Rich and Lavina, you know, for their time and effort. And again, at the end of the day, we have to be encouraging to each other and
as the human race, we have to love and embrace each other. Help somebody where you see there's help if you can do so. Spread that knowledge. We want to thank everybody for all the knowledge that they put forth on tonight. Again, knowledge is power. Know who you are. Embrace who you are. You don't have to sell yourself short for anybody else. Love is love. And on that note, chucking up the deuces.
Great show, Diva.
Great.
Chick in the building, so you know what it is? It's Fallout Comedy. Yo, clap it up, clap it up. It's Fallout Comedy time with your boy Chick the Comedian. As you know, today is a very important day. Today marks the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington, the Martin Luther King speech. You know, it's a big day for black people, man. You know, a lot of you got a lot of things going on today, a lot of commentary. We had a lot of things going on Saturday. You know, people took trips down to Washington, D.C. Hundreds of thousands of people, you know what I mean, commemorated the event by getting back up there. And we had today's speakers, man. So, you know, it's a real big time for us today as black people, man. And I was just, I was sitting back listening to Love and Fantasy Radio. You know, like Love and Fantasy Radio, I already told y'all, y'all ever heard me, man? I'm like one of the biggest fans they have. You know, they always come with the on-point topics, man. Like, they just could divert from the schedule and come into something that's relevant at the top. So, you know, they had their own topic today, man. But you know what? They celebrated what everybody else is celebrating today. So I want to make sure I'm aligned with that, too. We're going to have a celebration of blackness, a celebration of freedom. We're going to have a celebration of being treated as equals. You know, even though I have my different views on different things, you know, that's neither here nor there. But, you know, we're living in a time of day where everybody's fighting to be equal, to have some equality or whatever they stand for. You know, my equality I fight for is just really for me just to be created, like to be treated as a citizen now, being that I had an arrest record. You know, I feel as though I did my time and I did pay my debt to society. Now, you know, that part of my life is over. I turned up a new leaf, a totally 180 of a person I used to be. You know what I mean? You know, like I said, y'all know my motto. I tell jokes for Lord now. I tell jokes for living, man. And this is what I do. You know, we on GQ Palace Radio. Right now, we on GQ Palace Radio. If anybody listening on the radio, if you're not, you're just on the side of somebody, what we need you to do, we need you to pick up your phone. You can pick up your cell phone. You can pick up your house phone. You can pick up your daughter's phone because she's probably on punishment right now because she's on Facebook and she don't have her phone. So, you know, we're going to take your daughter's phone, and we need you to call in at 646-200-3838. That's right. I'm going to say it again, 646-200-3838. I'm going to say it like they say one of the radio jock shops. Yo, we need you. This is GQ Power Radio. Check the comedian. Fallout Comedy. We need you to call in at 646-200-3838. The first caller will win a 1989 Dodge. I couldn't even get it out. Oh, my God. But like I said, you might not win nothing, but what you know to do, you get to spend an hour with your boy, Chick the Comedian. That's what it is. So clap it up for that. Clap it up. Listen, I don't even know what's going on right now, but there is somebody laughing in the background. There's somebody busting out right now. They don't even know they are not on mute. You know what I'm saying? They sitting back right now. So that was what y'all seeing right now. That was natural laughter. Natural. That's how funny I am. I just got somebody laughing. I think they might be in the house eating some chicken right now, and they watching CNN and seeing what Obama going to do. But you know what? I made them laugh right now. So that's big, man. I'm real famous right now. I'm real famous right now. I'm not going to put the person out right there, though. You feel what I'm saying? But her name starts with a T. Ah, get it?
So he got her laughing so hard. I'm going to introduce y'all to everybody. This lady right here, you can see her on BET. It used to be on late night on BET when they had little videos and the girls were twerking and showing their booties. But now she done turned up a new leaf. Right now she don't shake her booty no more. Right now she shakes commentary on Love Fantasy Radio. Give it up for my girl, T. Tell me that's how you ever seen.
What's up?
What's up, T?
I didn't know I was not muted.
You're just going there.
I'm glad I ain't say what I was thinking.
Oh, my God. So what's going on?
What's the same old, just happy to be here, you know,
and
dealing with this beautiful
on, right?
day today. Yes, yes, yes.
We make it happen,
the Diva Squad. And, you know, you always pick up the pieces afterwards.
Yeah, man. You know, the funny thing about it, man, is like, I am, and we can talk, we can make it funny, like, but for real, like, you know, I have, like, the way I my political mind think, I have a twofold about everything, you know what I mean? Like, I'm glad about the celebration, I'm glad about it, man, but you know what? It always takes for something, for some recognition to be brought back into your forefront. Like, you know, who remembers the 20th anniversary? Like, if you keep it real, you know, do anybody remember in 1983? You get what I'm saying? Or 1993 or 2003. I don't remember 2003, to tell you the truth. I was in 2003 at this time. I was in Passaic County Jail, just starting
wow.
my 10-year sentence, you know what I mean? So I was in a whole totally different place. 10 years before that, in 93, I was like a freshman in high school. 10 years
mm-hmm.
before that, I was 5 years old, you know. And, you know, a lot of times the people use dates and stuff to bring you back into remembrance. And then the next day we forget about the fight, we forget about the focus, we forget about
exactly.
everything that we, you know, celebrate
the importance.
Yeah. It's like I was listening to y'all show, right, T? And you know, we it's crazy. We know what Obama's doing now. You know what I mean? Damn, he's black, it gives us a focus on the president. But you know, it's so funny, right, that he's about to make these decisions. Man, in the 8 years that Bush is in office, you know what I mean, wars we playing that we ain't even know anything.
Man,
you know what I mean? People ain't trying
wow.
to see in there and talk about first about the day of the war.
How many people we have lost?
Yeah,
but now
that it's the focus of a black person being a president, and now that we got our mind on it, they knowing that the media push forth the black issue in front of you when you do something wrong. But you know what? Obama signed legislation every day. He creates a bill for funding and things that you don't see. You know what I mean? Things that we don't see. Like, keep it real. Like, this is keep it real, man. If you're on welfare right now, you're living it up right now. It's the best
right.
ever. I'll tell you right now. You can clap it up. Look. I'm going to clap it up right now. Like, I clap it up for myself because I ain't on welfare. But when I grew up, I was on welfare. And we didn't get that much money. Man, these
right.
people on welfare right now, they don't got no reason to not go get a job.
And I mean, it seemed like some of them just keep having babies to get more money, more stamps, or whatever, more assistance.
But you know what?
The people that really truly need it, they're not getting it.
But you know what, though, T? You always, when I told you, I got double fold. What happens is when you create a hole in the ground, and you don't expect nobody to throw shit in it. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So what you do is that you create this hole for black people to live in, and then when they start living in it, people start talking about it. But what happens now with me being a taxpaying citizen, you see how the things is helping. But you know what? If certain things ain't happening, nobody wouldn't do nothing for you. Like, say, if you didn't have to get taxes taken out your check, right, would you volunteer taxes? Nope.
Uh-huh.
Nobody, you know what I mean? So what they do is, like, the things go out to other people. Now, when we start getting sort of judgmentalness, did I make it that word? I need my technician to put you back. It does get to me. Did I make that up? I got Google. I don't know if I did.
We got to Google that one.
Judge, let's see, judgment
to-ness.
Judgmentalness. I don't know.
Is it a sex word? Did it come up?
No, it ain't. You know, it came up like on the auto spell. It came up as
judgmental.
No, it said judgmental. I don't know. The judge. I just made up a word, y'all. We're going to try to get it in the dictionary. Pardon me. I never said I was a scholar, but I threw it out there real quick. But, you know, it's just crazy how everything going. I threw a little tea, you know. Let's keep the spirits up. You know what I mean? Like I said, right. It's the 50th anniversary of the march, and what it did was it opened up all avenues for black people. It allowed me to be a comedian today. You know?
Right.
It allowed Kobe Bryant to shoot a free throw. I mean, to play basketball, even though the black players played before. But what happened is, you don't know where our rights would have been going right now. You know, I mean, they had people that were just trying to have segregated schools. Well, you just would have never had no integration with a white person.
So right.
You would have had the NBBA, the National Black Basketball Association. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
You would have all types of things.
Right.
We don't even know we would have fought for that. So it's just nice to be in America, man, and be treated as a person. And now you got
right.
Some people that ain't being treated that way, and some people ain't got our rights, and that's another story, man. But, you know, there is people that, you know what I mean, the things is working for. We got a long way to go, but who's to say it can ever be corrected, T? You get what I'm saying?
That's true. But, you know, you was talking about the years and everything. In 2003, I had moved to Philadelphia because I wanted my daughter to experience different walks of life, nationalities, everything. You know, and coming from West Virginia to a big city like Philadelphia, it was a challenge for me. You know,
yeah.
But my daughter was going through so much, I had to, you know, like, introduce her to all walks of life. And what better place than Philadelphia? You know, because you have every nationality it is, you know, whereas in West Virginia, she was still going through the prejudice, and she felt like that everybody was against her. She was only, 10 years old when I really decided to move. So she was 11. You know, she went through a lot. Actually, we were going to homeschool her at first, you know. But then it just seemed like she was just getting sheltered, and she just didn't want to reach out. And she was, like, being really nonchalant and just nasty towards people. So, you know, I felt like it was time for her to get out and mingle and meet people, you know. And I'm glad that I never taught my kids to come up not liking another because of their skin color.
Hey,
you know?
I told somebody, well, I grew up in Milton, Jersey. Only time you seen a white person was either that was your teacher or he was on the telephone pole. That was
wow.
The only time you seen a white person, man. And
Well, that's the total difference that I'm talking about, right? Because in West Virginia, you didn't see many black cops. You didn't see black tellers. You didn't see black bus drivers. You know, when we came to Philadelphia, I was like, wow, that's a black cop. Wow, black bus driver. Black person doing everything, you know. And she was like, Mommy, look, all these black people, you know. I mean, because basically all the teachers were white, even when I was going to school. I mean, I could count on one hand how many black teachers we had in my school. You know, we were surrounded by the Ku Klux Klan a lot, you know. So
yep.
She started going through changes, and I figured this is one way to bring her out. It was either Philadelphia or Atlanta. You know, and you're going to find all walks of life in Atlanta, too. You know, and I'm glad that I did.
You lived in West Virginia?
I was born and raised in West Virginia, sweetheart.
Whoa. I don't know. Well, I can't say this true because you lived there, but I'm just things I read about. I heard West Virginia is like one of the poorest states to visit.
It is. I mean,
so
because.
And you started from the bottom, now you here, huh?
Ah, you better know it. You
she
better know it.
The bottom, now she
but
is.
Yes, I mean, you know, like where I was born and raised, actually, until I moved to another little town, there was no cops. There was nothing but dirt roads and maybe 20 or 30 homes. And it was like everybody was related, you know. And then I moved to this one little town called Kimball, West Virginia, and it was like one police car. All the stores closed at 5 o'clock. They were all owned by white people, you know. And it was just, you know, hey, if I wouldn't have been raised that way, I don't know how I would have accepted
even like with my son, like I just told them, you know, my son has never dated a black girl. Never. Mm-hmm. You know, I have two biracial grandbabies, and I love them to death. You know, I don't see any color. I've never seen any color. You know, but me, myself, I prefer to stay in my race.
Oh, you know, it's understandable. It's very understandable. You know,
but as far as my kids, the only thing I've instilled in them, I don't want to hear the name calling. I don't want the word, the N word misused. I did not allow it in my house, and I still don't allow it in my house. You know, because it can bring up so much animosity, drama, fights, and everything. Yeah, you may be cool with this one white kid, but you go out there and be with your other friends and he be like, what's up, my aunt? This other kid may not take it as good as you do. Then you got to fight.
Yo, that's crazy. Like, I'm letting you know right now is that I think I have a white daughter. I mean, she's black. Her mother's black, but I think I have a white daughter. She watches the Disney Channel all the time. And I don't know if this, listen, my daughter does not know any of these black songs, but throw some of that, I don't want to say Miley Cyrus, she's gone out of my life. You know, I know she knows from the Hannah Montana after she did what she just did at the awards. But,
right.
You know, in that kind of category, that's all she wants. And, you know, my daughter is like, she's real sensitive. You can't touch a cat or a scary movie. So, and then, you know what? You know, it seems like it's kind of good because, you know, she wasn't born in that environment that I was born in where, you know,
right.
Everything would be so, everything was just pro-black. And what happens
right.
is this, you know, when you're living in that type of structure, you know what I mean, you limit yourself to what you could do. You know what I mean? Now, I'm not saying, you know, my daughter, I don't want my daughter to be a valid person because, like, I told this one girl, I'm jumping everywhere. But this one girl was talking, she's like, hello, talking like this. I told her, you know, I said, you talk like you're a white person. And she
right.
got offended. But she said, how does a white person talk? I said, hold up, listen to what I'm saying to you. I said, the way you're talking is how people talk in the valley. Black people
mm-hmm.
were in the valley at one time. So when if that's their vernacular, you pick that up. It's not your natural tongue. It's just like if you go down south and someone's like, hey, you talk like you're from Mississippi. But you've never been to Mississippi, so why is you talking like that? You're talking like somebody that you don't have no connection to. So you get what I'm saying? So you say, hey, this. The valley, all white people don't even talk like that. But you're talking like a valley person. So just like I said, would it be racist to say a white person like, yo, what up, son? What up, B? What up, son? And he ain't from New York or he ain't from Jersey. And if he's talking like that, to me that's a connotation, a negative connotation that he's trying to be funny.
Right. Right.
But
you know, so...
N-word, you know what I mean? But you know I found it, right?
What, the word?
Judgment. Yeah. I don't think it's a word, but I found it being used.
You to put it in there. You to put it in there to be a word.
I'm going to let everybody know right now, your boy did it. Judgmentalness is a conclusion that something does not exhibit characteristics, which we believe it should exhibit. Comparing
wow.
the thing I do, and that's our personal value. That's how I use it in a sentence. I am nice. I made up a word, but it wasn't a word, and I used it correctly. Isn't that, that's the bomb right there. That's the bomb, see?
Yeah, it
is.
Yeah, well, you did that one.
Did you? See, have you been looking at my Facebook account? Have you been seeing what's going on with the comedian?
With the what?
With the comedian, she's a comedian. I got like these shows coming up. Like I got my like my first real like poster. You get what I'm saying? Like my real first. I've been on posters before, but I have the featured comedian on this poster. It feels so good to be like, and you, it's a godly poster. You know what I mean? Did you see
uh-huh.
it?
I will make sure that I go on there. You know how I be doing. I'll go on there and look at certain things, and I'm out.
That's a no. That was a no.
I am going on there right now, chicky chick.
Yes. Can you Can you just admit to the audience that that was a no? Was, no.
I am on his page right now, and he's not there to he's not here to preach. So you guys got to definitely get into and look at his page. I would suggest Mr. Chicky Chick to some of you guys that don't know him and make sure that you get a good glimpse of him because he is doing big things nowadays.
Give it up for my new audience. So this was Stacy. It says, this like, because I got promoted, right? It's the Love of Jesus. Look, the Love of Jesus Family Church. First of all, I'm doing it in a good church. The Love of Jesus Church Adult Choir presents Laugh Out Loud, a Christian comedy showcase that hosts Pat Andrews and featuring comedian Rakim Singleton.
Now, I did see the video.
2013. It starts at 4 p.m. So you know this ain't a drunk show. This is a Christian show. Doors open at 3:15. That means that we're giving you 4 p.m. to be on the list. And that's going to be at the Love of Jesus Family Church. That's at 88/94 Ballin Street.
Okay.
We when it comes to the church because we have the anointing. You don't have to worry about it. So for tickets, you could call 908-347-2120 or you could call 93-342-7026. We're going to say that again, right? For ticket information, it's 908-347-2120 or 973-342-26. But you can always...
That's Saturday, October the 19th, right?
Yeah. You can always hit me up. It says that ticket for adults for $15 and children under... fire for children under 12. Look at that. This is a church. I tell everybody right now, I do family-friendly comedy. You can bring kids to it. I mean, I make them all laugh. That's what we do. Right?
You know what? For you, Chicky, I'm going to share this and put
you
it on my page. I'm not going to promise you that I'm coming, but I'm going to share it on my page. Put it on my page.
That's what you... Oh, you did? Is that
yes,
not good? And they actually took that picture of me. So.
Oh, that's...
You see, Pat, give it a big shout-out to Pat Andrews. I should have... I'm going to see if I can get Pat on my show one day. She's a real nice lady. What she does, like, all the Christian comedy in this area, man. She's, like, real big,
man. Oh, okay.
And this is, like, I get my chance to work with her now. And the best thing about it is that my name is spoken in her circles. So, you know what I mean? That's what happens now.
Wow.
You've been a Christian comedian. Oh, you know such and such and such and such. So it's a whole
exactly.
It's a whole big spectrum. I don't have to be Kevin Hart. I don't have to be Steve Harvey. You know what I mean?
All you have to do is be you.
Be me. See, me and my wife were talking about it. We thought, say if I just blow. Because, there's a pastor, Pastor Milton Hobbs. Big shout out to Hobbs. He's the one that gave me my first Christian comedy showcase. And he was talking to me. And I guess, you know, when the pastor talks, sometimes he's prophesying at the same time. He's speaking things into the existence. And he was just telling me, he said, man, there's people doing this thing, but it's time for it to blow up. You know what I mean? He's saying, God's saying, it's time for this to be coming up, because people really want to go to comedy shows, but they got to go find somebody to babysit their kids, or
exactly.
They kind of compromise themselves just so they can have a good joke, and don't have to be somewhere where there's smoke, and there's drinking, and there's cursing, and whatever.
Right.
You can get your nice, friendly atmosphere, you can be yourself, you can laugh without nobody being mental to you. And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm rolling the seats. And, also, just to put it out there, I got to do it on my show, too. Because if I'm doing my show, who else is going to do it for me? It says in the Bible, it says that you have not because you ask not. So what I'm doing right now, I'm asking everybody I know, make sure you hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram at Chick the Comedian. You can find me. It's real easy, C-H-I-C-C, the Comedian. And, I want you to purchase my DVD. I need you to check me out. Chick the Comedian, that's why I got my first DVD. It's called I'm Not Here to Preach. I'm here to tell jokes. There's a whole half an hour comedy. Same thing you see half an hour on HBO, half an hour
it
on comedy.
Great.
I got it. You can check out my DVD. I still got to get up Debbie. You know Debbie, right? I got to get Debbie. I got to get Debbie information because I told her I was going to get her a DVD.
I ain't got mine yet either. I supposed to have one.
Oh.
Hmm.
And yeah, well, we'll make sure that you get Debbie's information, Mr. Chickie.
Yeah, we're gonna send her out one because she showed a lot of love. I told her, you know, oh, I just feel so good. I got another show out in New York. I think I told y'all this. I got a show coming up, right? You ain't gonna believe it,
uh-huh.
Right? In October, right? It's gonna be over 20,000. Last year's event had 20,000 people. It's gonna be in Mount Vernon, New York. So I'm hosting. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, just when I go on stage, I'm hosting.
Oh wow! Congrats.
I'm going up there with my CDs. I got my T-shirts coming out. My T-shirts got the hashtag I tell jokes for the Lord. I tell jokes for the living coming out. So we're gonna have them at the when I do shows and stuff. Everybody be able to bother me real time.
Do you have any openings for employees?
if it gets to that point, when that phone starts rolling off, you know, it's funny how you said that to you. You know, I got a call today, right?
Uh-huh.
So I missed the call. So I called back. It's California. Now, mind you, know, I was a criminal. I came home, so I did all kinds of jobs, right?
Right.
So I even did phone calls. I did telecommunications. So the guy calls me right now. He says, hey. How you doing? Is this Joaquin, is this comedian Joaquin Singleton? I'm like, yeah. Like, so he's like, can I speak to comedian Joaquin Singleton? I said, you're speaking to him. So he said, is this your business? And then he started going and said, hold up, this call might be monitored, so I already know what it is. I did the same type of job. He's talking to me like, I don't know what the hustle is. He's saying like, yeah, we need to update your business information to see if this thing's right. I said, what website is you talking about? He started going real fast, and that's how they used to teach us. So I'm bugging out because I'm online like this, like I did this job. So I know every little thing to mess with them. I know they give you like a sheet, like a reply sheet. Like, say if you ask me a question, they teach you how to answer certain questions. They all fall into categories. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So he asking me this stuff. But what they're trying to do is trying to see if I'm going to buy something. Talking about the yellow pages of the internet where somebody put their name in. I said, no, I'm not trying to blow it up. I'm saying I'm already famous. I mean, you can't get no bigger than if you Google my name and I come up on Facebook and YouTube. What else can you do for me? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I said, because I got like a listing now. They got like a business directory. So now when you look it up, you can look up my name, comedian Joaquin Singleton. Because, you know, at the same time, people know me as Chick the Comedian, but you know, you need some of this professional stuff so these guys know how to write your check. Now I got a check on the Chick Comedian. I said, I can't cash this. My bank account will say, the comedian, I need. So I tell everybody now, you know, comedian Joaquin Singleton, if you write that down, I'll make sure I get my check. And I got me some nice business cards, like different. Like the ones I got, like flashy. I got some toned down ones. Because, you know, I might meet a minister, right? You know?
Right.
I meet a minister or a preacher or a pastor, and I give them my
right.
nice toned down card. You know, I give them my little glitzy cards. Like, man, so I got humble stuff. It's a best, like, and just a radio show. This my show does so much for me too. See,
right, right. And,
so
and you know what?
Radio show. Oh my god. Oh, listen, first thing in the background. I think my engineers, my engineers had to go to use the bathroom. They put up there going to do number two. I'm back right now. If you're back
you
right now, clap it up that you're done doing your number two. Clap it up.
But next time you come down this way, hopefully it'll be in a church somewhere, and you make sure that I know about it.
I will. Look, this is what I want to tell you, right? You abandoned me last week. I did my whole show by myself. You thought I was going to forget about that? I just thought I was mad at you.
Were you? I'm sorry.
Listen, I didn't get a call. I didn't get a T. I didn't get a Rachel. I didn't get an Angie. I was on this joint. But you know what? It wound up being like one of my best shows, because what it did was it showed that I was able to continue on. And when I say I was by myself, I'm talking about like I'm in the house by myself and everything. So I'm like, there's no feedback. You know, there was like no feedback going anywhere. And it was
I'm sorry. I had a little situation that came up, and I couldn't be there, honey. I wasn't even on our show.
Yeah, I didn't pay too much attention.
But I apologize.
No, you don't have to apologize, because it was all
When
you listen to that show, everything just come up, because this is how a comedian works. I don't know. Let me give you a little tea, because sometimes, listen, for real. You know, when I get on stage a lot of times, see, there's a lot of things that I go over my mind what I want to say, but things happen differently because you give yourself time to ad-lib. So that's what makes the best comedians. You ever watch a movie with Martin Lawrence or Chris Rock or one of them, you bet there's no way in the world that was written down. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I don't think I've seen it.
No. Any movie. I'm talking about any.
Oh, okay.
I never seen them two in the movie before. I'm not. That's the word. I said, you ever seen a part that you said like this? They did not write that down. That's in your mind like this. No, they didn't. They couldn't have wrote that down. Like, they had to ad-lib that. So that's what made me think about what you just did and how, you know, being a comedian, I picked up. You ever seen this commercial? You could Google it too. And try it on YouTube. You ever seen a commercial where the dog is sitting in front of the door, right? It's like there's like the animals all on the block, and all the owners is leaving off the block. So the puppet shot comes from around the corner like this. If you leave me now, you take away the biggest part of me. Yo. That is one of the funniest commercials ever, yo. I don't know how much relevant that is, but you know what else is a funny commercial?
What?
They say the old McDonald commercial, where they say, oh, you know, old McDonald was a bad speller. So he get up there and say, the word is cow. And he get up there and say, COWEIEIO.
That's the first thing that came to my mind when you said old McDonald. I was thinking about Harold Bob.
You've never seen it's the Geico commercial. Oh my God.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah. He gets that joint. No, Geico got some commercials.
Geico be having some crazy commercials.
He says, the word is cow. He got a bit serious too, like this. COWEIEIO. Yeah. He said, "Gang, damn it!" Oh man, you know that's what the funny commercial thing. The commercial
yeah,
where something like this. They find insurance. Please give me help. They send them help. We give them a rebate, right?
Right.
And then you got the other guy like this. Blah blah insurance. Please give me some money. And then the dude with the fishing pole goes like this. He said, "I got a dollar for you." And she tries snacking. He looks like he says, "Almost had it."
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I can tell you missed me last week. I missed it you too.
Oh, but you know, you can listen to the show. You can listen to past episodes of Love Fantasy and Fallout Comedy. Things to take together. Just go up there on the website, GQ Palace. You can check us out at blogtalkradio.com/ GQ Palace, wait, let's do it right. Check us out at www.blogtalkradio.com/GQ. Hold on.
Get it together.
You can check us out at www.blogtalkradio.com/GQ-Palace. I got it right. I usually say better than that. So you can check us out at blogtalkradio.com/GQ/Palace. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, you did it. Yay, woo!
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I can't believe I did it. I want to thank my mother and father, because without them, I wouldn't be possible. I want to thank the man up above, because he just knew that through all of the determination, I was going to eventually say it out of my right. I want to give a big shout out to my dentist, because he fixed my lips problems. You know, I had a lips, and he fixed it. Hello? What's up? I'm calling. Am I corny today? Hello? He left me?
Hello.
I'm
not going to leave you. Would you get ready to cry? You know you're a cry baby.
I do. I cry all the time.
Were you going to cry if I would have left?
I bet y'all could, if you go watch a movie right now, you'll cry. It's called My Sister's Keeper. Don't watch it.
It's called what?
My Sister's Keeper.
I bet if I watch Imitation of Life, I cry too.
Ain't that like an old movie?
Yeah, but I cry every time I see it.
And you said,
what's the name of the movie? My Sister's Keeper?
My Sister's Keeper. Like my brother's keeper, my sister's keeper.
Oh, just saying that make me a cry.
Yeah, I'm talking about like as soon as it come on, you cry. Like as soon as it come on, bam, cry.
No, I have to see what it's about before I start crying. I'm not gonna be like you.
It's
Why are you getting so serious now?
What do you mean?
You know I like to laugh about everything. Well, not everything, but... Huh? What happened?
Huh?
When?
What did you say?
Why?
You said you got to use the bathroom.
You ain't heard me say that. You must have to go, because you're talking about everybody else having to go. So I think it's you.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not.
You better get your Depend and put it on while you're doing the show.
Hello?
Hello?
What is that?
You better get your Depend and put it on when you're doing the show.
Can y'all hear tea? A sweet tea.
Oh, hello. You hear me too.
She said, oh no, you hear me. You hear me.
I love you to death. Ever since day one, you had me in pain. You and your boys had me in pain for a couple of days. I've loved you since that day. And I loved you even more when you came to GQ Palace. Can we hear some crickets on that one? Oh, Lord.
Yeah, see, now, this is my show. You can't. Clap it up. This is my show now.
I want to hear the crickets, but
that
when you cry.
Yeah. They say you cannot press the buzzer. This is not last person.
But I have. I mean, I've always found you to be hilarious, really, from day one. And now even more so. And then being with spiritual jokes, that's even better.
Yeah, man.
I'm
hey,
so proud of you.
Oh.
I'm laughing, but I'm real serious, Chickie. Aren't you proud of yourself?
I'm trying to be, man. I'm just kind of happy, man. It's just that, you know, I know that I got a long way to go. Just like I was telling somebody, man. I said, man, I hope that 3 years from now, that I'm still doing everything I'm doing, so that wouldn't be like, you know, you look back and say I used to do this and I used to do that. I don't want it that way. That I lost faith in myself or lost vision of what I want. Now, you know, like I told somebody before, they asked me about, like, how big I want to be. And I don't think of it in that way. I just think that, just hope that I just continue to be the same person I always was. I always was known to a person, like, you're not going to really meet nobody that say they don't like me. You know, they always going to say, hey, Chick is my man. You know, like, I put a smile. And I just hope that my life continues to shine like that.
But, you know, with God being in your life now more so, bigger and better things will happen for you. He's going to make a way out of nowhere, and always remember that.
And you know what's so cool too is that my other comedian friends, I still got comedian friends that's not like, you know, they ain't doing Christian comedy,
right?
And then sometimes a person, you know, they respect it, but then they, you know what I mean, they ain't testing it. You get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You know, somebody like, hey Chick, man, listen, you come get $50 real quick and come do this. You know what I'm saying? They don't, you
right.
know, they point where it's saying like they test me. And that's the crazy
right.
thing is that, you know, I know it's gonna be that point where I have to cut things off. I
right.
give you an example. I got a place down here in North that's called 47. Now right now, see, this is like one of the hottest comedy night spots. I would have to say, to be honest,
uh-huh.
Chick, I think it might be the hottest comedy night spot in New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
Because the guy that's doing it is Bob Sumner. He used to do Def Jam. So right now, he
wow.
got this thing called App Mob, and they like the biggest thing right now. So
wow.
there's not really a comedy place in New Jersey. They do it every Thursday. Last week, they had a guy from Wildin' Out there. You know, they bring,
uh-huh.
they have a nice comedian, and then it's selling out. So, you know, and this is like a good look. And then, you know, I want to hit the stage. You know, I'm not going to lie to you. I want to hit the stage. But it's all about somebody being susceptible to what I'm doing. And
right.
I look at it in the same view as, like, say, if, Mary or Yolanda Adams, they had the BET Awards. You know what I mean? You got Nicki Minaj performing, but also, you know,
right.
they got the gospel set. So you can come give God the glory in a situation. And then, sometimes it might be somebody there that need to hear what you need to say and laugh on what you're going to laugh. But then you'll be compared against the other comedians, man. You get what I'm saying? And you gotta be you gotta remember to stay who you are and be able to continue to do your job.
Exactly. You know, stay focused and stay positive on what your goal is. You know.
And that's why I did down as way, then I found your way. I mean, I told you I got up there and he was wilding out, you know, things, jokes and everything. And I got up there and I said, you know, I had ten times. I was like, everywhere. I said, maybe this is going to be here, all that other stuff. I'm like, just walk off the stage, you're going to come back. And it was cool, man. And everybody was like, they warmed up to it. And it was like, you know, it was clean comedy. And
This was the one I missed, right?
Yeah. And I said,
okay.
Hey, man. I said, this is, I just want to show y'all that a person, you know what I mean, that is such thing as playing, that you can laugh. I made y'all laugh, right? They're like, yeah. So I said, just continue to support it. And that's what my little thing, like,
wow.
Playing. So that's why I'm trying to move with this thing called cut comedy.
Right. Okay. And like you say, it is such things as a clean version of music, jokes, whatever. You know, and because you've chosen that road doesn't mean that you're not going to be funny. I mean, because I looked at the DVD, the video that you did, I was sitting here cracking up again. I'm like, you know what? He's just crazy. And he got jokes, and his bottom line. Your clean jokes are better than your dirty version. Well, the dirty version you used to do.
The dirty version.
The dirty bird version.
You tell the dirty jokes.
You a dirty bird.
Getting up there telling all them dirty jokes. I mean, no sense, all them dirty jokes.
Scared to touch the microphone
jokes.
And everything. Oh.
Doing all them dirty jokes.
The dirty bird joke. But see, if you wouldn't have did that, I wouldn't have never met you.
Huh?
And honestly, since that day, I'm not the same person I was back then.
She said, no.
So, you know, hey, it's time for people can change, but you still can do the same things and keep a smile on your face. and make others smile just as well. So you keep doing you. What happened?
I never would have met you.
Without dirty jokes.
Dirty jokes. You're doing all that dirty jokes. That's why we don't worry about only doing all these baby jokes. We don't have a kid. Kid can't do the baby jokes. You got more money than everybody. Everybody want to do these baby jokes. You want some money?
The dirty jokes.
They give you more money. They give you short money. They give you junk. Give you 17. A few baby mamas. Baby jokes. Clean jokes get you a nice Christian woman. That's a clean joke. That's what you want. A clean joke.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong with no clean jokes. Nada. Nothing at all. See? Y'all got to clap it up on that one. Woo-hoo. Oh. Uh-oh, I got a new little sound now for you.
You said what now?
I got a new little sound when I'll be messing with you now.
Yeah.
I'm going to be doing that all the time.
You know, I got high blood pressure. I got
What about high blood pressure?
High blood pressure. That's what he told me. I got, like, hypertension.
Yeah, I do too. But you'll live. We'll live.
I ain't taking no medicine.
What? You still going to live?
The doctor said, it's because you do all those dirty jokes. You're trying to do clean jokes. You got to take them and you do all them dirty jokes.
Yeah, you got to leave the dirty jokes alone.
Now, look, you made me create a character. I got to thank you, T. I done got me a new character because it's going down now.
What about dirty jokes?
His name Bill. Mr. Bill. Mr. How you doing, Mr. Bill? Hey, how you doing, boy? Still out there doing them dirty jokes, Mr. Bill. But I told you. I used to be sitting right there, and I used to be praying for you. Well, I used to pray, Mr. Bill, I'm praying. But I was in the box. I said, why are you doing all them dirty jokes? Get all the little kids running around here telling these dirty jokes. You know where the dirty jokes get you? You know where to get you? Get you pulled over. Because you're drunk from telling all the dirty jokes. You don't feel good about it. It's wrong. It's wrong telling jokes, so you feel bad now.
Why Mr. Bill?
Mr. Bill and dirty jokes.
Why can't be Mr. Wilbur?
Mr. Wilbur?
Yeah, Mr. Wilbur.
With the ribbons?
Wilbur.
River?
Forget you.
Like a lake?
Like a W-I-L-B-E-R-T, Wilbur.
Oh, Wilbur.
Yeah.
But you know my tooth, and I don't say like Wilbur. Right, like so, yeah.
Oh, I forgot
you. You know what somebody told me?
Right?
They looked at me and said, you know, they asked me, they say, you know, they said, whole time, I never knew you was missing two. I thought that was a gap in your mouth.
They was making jokes right there.
First of all, it's not even, like, it's not even middle. So it's not like the middle. Where you're like, okay, it's a side, so you gotta have like a side gap.
You got a side gap.
it's crazy. I was in church and I'm all dressed up in church. So my sister-in-law, her niece was there, but her niece is grown. And she was telling her how she was like, the minister looked gangster with his Mr. Two like that. Like she was like, you make him a gangster. I said, thank you. I don't know what to say. I said, thank you.
Wow.
Yeah, I said, thank you.
So she thinks you look gangster with your missing tooth?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I need some money, yo.
Where'd that come from?
Because I'm looking at the new John Madden 2000, the new video game, and I want to buy it, but I don't have the money.
That's dirty.
No, that clean game. That ain't no dirty game. That's clean game. I'm going to buy it, ain't Mr. Wilbur would like to tell you he likes to play Madden, too.
Yeah, Mr. Wilbur was playing the other day. I seen him the other day playing. with the and Mr. Wilbur old.
Never would have made that.
What's that, Mr. Wilbur? Oh.
With the oil, a little left it all. But now I see. I'm about to start crying.
You better not.
I better not.
I'm going to hang up on you.
Never would have made that.
No, take you to the king. That's the song.
What'd you say?
Take me to the king is the song.
You look like her.
What?
T-Man. That's T-Man. Her name is...
Tamala.
Yo, right live right now on GQ Powers Radio, Blog Talk Radio, right now on Fall Comedy Hour. We are introducing her first solo single from T.R.A.
Yeah.
There she go. I don't know what that was. That was an Indian city call.
We got to work on my first solo, okay?
That's what the brothers say to each other before they about to get it in. No, that's what the blood say when they about to go shoot up.
Oh, well, listen, my window up, so let me stop.
She's like,
how you go? See, there you go talking dirty.
Nobody calls into my show no more.
Yes, they do.
I'm hurt.
You probably got about 50 listeners.
I'm about to get me some fake callers.
Yeah, we gonna build that fan base up, all right?
My heart is
you
torn
with me?
Pieces. Is my offering. Call me 646 238. 38, 2,000, press the 1 to talk, call into my show.
Oh. True fancy needs you.
Doesn't cause nothing
stop
at all.
Stop playing them games.
It's a toll-free number. Press 1 to
they clapping it up big time for you tonight.
But you just talk about your internet listeners now.
Ooh.
Now. And I can say now because nobody's listening, so they won't be like.
You don't know that.
I don't know that.
Oh, my God. You're never alone, Chicky. Even if I'm not here, you're never, ever alone.
That's right. We are never alone. We are never alone.
One is never, ever alone. I had to get that preached to me a few times. We're never, ever alone.
That's what when the dude wrote you in jail before he came home, he said, gee, you're never alone.
I seen him the other day, and he told me to tell you that you need to come back and do a dirty joke for him. And the dirty joke is, stop lying that he loved tea.
I don't even know what you just said.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
It's 9:57, and you know what? You made the hour go past. We want to give it up. She took over the show this week. She took over the show. She did what she wanted to. We had a structure, y'all. We had, like, this whole thing mapped out. She went totally sideways when she started laughing at the beginning of the show. So I apologize to everybody listening to the T. Holland Show, but it's not really the T. Holland Show. It is Fall Out Comedy with Chick the Comedian. Let's get that. Okay. She
it
is, I am
show.
The Long Ranger, and she is Tonto. Thank you, Chicken. I am the Long Ranger. But I want to thank everybody that's listening right now to my show. Thank you, T, each and every week. You always bless me with your presence. You can
thank
be doing
you.
A whole bunch of things right now. You can be doing a whole bunch of stuff. At 10 o'clock, at 9 o'clock at night. what you chose to put to do. You ain't let dude come in tonight. He said, I got to do the radio show. Come back tomorrow. And I appreciate that.
I even got my grandbaby. See,
well,
I got my grandson with me.
You got the grandson with me? You got the grandson with me?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. We got children being neglected right now. She's on the radio and the child running around. So.
No. He's back there watching TV. He's a good boy.
Oh, he's a good boy. But yeah. I want to thank everybody. I want to thank Lavina. I want to thank Rich. I want to thank the whole GQ Power family. I appreciate everybody, man. Like I said, man, we're going to continue to grow, man. We're going to be, you know, it's crazy. We're going to be able to laugh at these days. I wasn't getting that many calls
exactly. When
the phone just be blowing up. So I just want to thank everybody that is listening, everybody that's on the radio right now, because we got a whole bunch of channels. I want to give a big shout-out to Barcelona, Spain. I heard they're listening to me right now, Barcelona, Spain. Right now, hey, KK, mira.
Mira.
Loca. Bata loca. Big shout-out to Bella Barcelona, Spain. Big shout-out to all my listeners and callers. I want to thank God, man, for continuing to be a moving force in my life. I thank you for putting everything in my life, man. We got a whole bunch of comedy shows. Make sure y'all check me out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can look at my YouTube videos. It's all underneath Chick the Comedian. That's C-H-I-C-C, the Comedian. You see the spelling right on the Blog Talk Radio page, man. We're doing big things. I got some shows coming out. I got my DVD. Make sure you hit me up at Chick the Comedian at yahoo.com. You can put your order in. You can also check me out at 973-592-7263. Yo, it's been real, man. Thank you, T. Love you.
You're welcome. Love you, too. Good night.
Yo, that's right. Let's end the show off with our radio. We got our own little song. And like I said, they forgot to put me in there. But it's okay. You know why? Because God is good anyway. Now, have your song. Play your song. Because I got my own song. And I'm rapping it right now. Right on the mic. Right on the microphone. GQ Palace. I'll finish rapping and I'll play the song.
You a bad. Good night.
She's all gonna be rapping. She's all gonna be rapping.
Sip. No packs, no crews, no groups, no dudes, just grown women who prove it to me they all ready. No raps, no shoes, swag, mad, hot moves, I got the memo on Super Lover, see on Reddit. I'm still hot, little dude, still rock, little dude. I've been listening, little homie, it's show Reddit. Real shots, real moves, still pops, little dude, already christened this industry, homie, yo, pet it. I bet two chicks, two bricks, two spits. I'm still a 4-5 with a 4-5, you 2-5. A 4-5 with a 4-5 and a few chicks. A 4-5 with a 4-5 and a few clips. I had enough of that slow fire and loose chips. Corporate America showed high and loose chicks. I can't remember making money prior to booze spitting. Andrew November's counting money, lying with cute women. See, when I said I was coming back, wasn't bullshitting. Sitting no money, riding European with bull shifting. Not responsible for the disrespect your crew's getting. Fully responsible for the disrespect your booze giving. I'm not a boss that holds no remorse and booze driven. And don't endorse and think killing dudes is a cool living. I'm just gonna waltz in here and take back what I'm too pimping. And keep on grinning and do what I do all through linen. No packs, no crews, no groups, no dudes, just grown women who proven to me they all ready. No raps, no shoes, swag, bad, hot moves, and got the memo on Super Lover, see on Reddit. I'm still hot, little dude, still rock, little dude. I've been listening, little homie, it's show Reddit. Real shots, real moves, still pops, little dude, already christened this industry, homie, yo, pet it. I bet two chicks, two bricks, two spits. When I squeeze a 4-5, you'll fold out, take a huge dip. A fall guy, victim of a confused chick. A poor guy.